and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Here we go. It's Monday morning. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We are not at the Democratic Convention. That should be clear that Morning Sedition did not go because, what, we weren't invited. They didn't have room on the bus for us. There were no plane tickets. All I know is we get in this morning. There's a, you know, a copy machine in here. There's a leftover map of the Fleet Center.
Just to rub it in.
Yeah, it's like, here's a little picture of where you're not going to be and everyone else is. Bono's going to be up there. Jon Stewart's going to be up there. Janine Garofalo's going to be up there. I guess there's going to be some politicians up there.
One or two.
But Mark Riley and Mark Maron, no, we'll hold the fort down here.
Yeah, we must be a security risk.
And, of course, we get in here on Monday, and the place is a wreck after the weekend. Who the hell knows what's going on in here over the weekend? But we get in, mics are unplugged, there's food on the floor. What is that? Not that I'm upset, you know. It's just like it seems that we, you know, it's weird when you do the morning show because we get out of here.
Yeah.
And we get done with our 8-hour workday and people are like walking in, you know, sort of bleary eyed with their coffee, like, you know, I'm really tired. Shut up! Shut up! Don't tell me about how tired you are.
That's right.
Hey, I'd like to thank the people that came down to the Laugh Factory. Had a lot of Morning Seditioner devotees.
Oh, yeah.
Came to the old show world in Times Square to see Mark Maron talk dirty. I don't know what came over me. You know, Friday night, both shows were good. You know, we had a nice time. You know, I kept it well-rounded. Saturday night, first show, powerful. Had a good time, laid it down. And then Saturday night, second show, I don't know what it is, Riley, but I must have summoned up the ghosts of the sadness in the floors of show world because I did a dirty, dirty show. And it's so weird because I'm not above doing the filth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I enjoy the filthy comedy. I'm a strong supporter of dirty comedy. I think dirty, smart comedy is the best comedy there is.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't really do that on the radio. But I don't know what came over me, but I swear to God, maybe I'm projecting. There was a couple up front, a woman who looked like she might have been an Air America listener and a man. They look like, you know, well-respected kind of, you know, liberal people. And then there were all the other people that didn't really know me, just kids from Times Square, you know.
People got lost.
Yeah, just a mixed batch of cats, you know, hanging out, you know, mm-hmm. looking for something. And that Saturday night second show, you know, you got to hold their attention. So it was not a time for astute political satire or cultural criticism. Man, I went right into my pants for about 40 minutes. But it was good. It was revealing. I felt good about it. But I felt I felt like if there were Morning Sedition people there, you know, the sort of diehard kind of, you know, liberal political people that came to see me do the political material, what they got was a lot of, you know, of the other stuff. The masturbatory kind of self-loathing, you know, self-centered, reflections on bitterness and weirdness. And
big forearms. I understand.
Yeah, but it was fun, man. It was fun. It's a great room down there, that Laugh Factory. I hope it pays off for him. It's really beautifully designed. It's a great place to see comedy. And it still feels a little like show world.
Really? No, no former dancers in the audience?
No, there weren't, but, you know, it's like a buddy of mine, Dan Vitale, who's a very funny cat. He's got, you know, sort of a troubled history, you know, as we'll say in show business. And he showed up for one of my shows, and he was sitting there, like, you know, and I never went to Show World, but it was Show World. It was just not on my radar.
Me neither.
I know, Riley, I know. But we're sitting there, and I'm like, this is a nice club. And he goes, Mark, if you only knew what went on in this room when I used to come here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He started telling these stories. So I want to thank some of our listeners also. That one of the cats on the blog laid down, he was doing something last week where he was showing these chunks of history from this website called the cooperativeresearch.org, www.cooperativeresearch.org. They have this 9/11 timeline that literally goes all the way back to the 70s.
Oh, wow.
And it's like there's like 1,450 entries on it, and it's really, really fascinating. I mean, it is just mind-blowing, because I went to it and I spent like a good part of my weekend going, oh, my God, it's not a conspiracy. This is all true. And it became all pretty fascinating to me was that during George Bush Sr.'s presidency, you know, after, you know, the Mujahideen was funded and created and fought the Soviets, that, you know, they had all of these Muslim fighters from all over the world sort of, you know, all came into Pakistan and Afghanistan to fight, you know, for against the Russians for the U.S. on some level.
With the acquiescence and the approval of the United States,
right.
Those people came.
And I knew that for the most part. But at some point, the Pakistani Bhutto, the Pakistani Prime Minister,
sure.
She said, look, you know, this thing's out of control. You know, you're creating a monster here with all these different Muslim armies, and that, you know, I don't know if you realize that, you know, once this is over, you know, there's no telling what they're going to do. They're running around, you know, blowing stuff up. And apparently George W. Bush, the first Bush.
H.W.,
dismissed it. Just said, yeah, all right, don't worry about it.
You know,
and just let it happen. So on some level, he allowed the roots of this insurgency that we're seeing now, this global Islamic front, to grow.
Now ask yourself this question.
Yeah.
Bush, the senior,
yeah.
was the former head of what agency?
The CIA.
Okay. What did he know about these foreign fighters that we don't know? In other words, why did he say it was no big deal?
Why?
Because he knew something about this whole scenario that maybe we don't even know 20 years further down the road.
All I know is a lot of people made a lot of money on heroin.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a heroin industry in Afghanistan that was worth, you know, billions of dollars.
Yes.
And, you know, judging by the CIA's activities in Vietnam and the drugs in that situation, somebody was getting funneled some back-end money on that.
Probably huge sums of back-end money. And if you look at drug trafficking, in the world,
mm-hmm.
and you look at arms trafficking in the world,
yeah.
you often find the same names.
Always.
Making money.
And they've been the same names for years.
For years, absolutely.
I made some speculation about that on my CD that I did after 9/11 that you can get at markmaron.com.
By the way, where are you appearing this weekend?
I don't know. I'm going to L.A. this weekend, actually.
Thank God
to see my cats and my wife and my house and, you know, then leave again.
In that order?
I'll see my wife first.
Okay.
Here's the weird thing. When I'm reading this stuff is that I realized that his father put into place the enemy that's congealing now
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that created this Islamic insurgency or the roots of it or allowed it to happen. And then this George Bush, you know, is now, you know, sort of supporting and coddling the Christian insurgency within this country.
Yeah.
So between the two of them, they're setting the stage for the Great Holy War, father and son. I don't know if they did it on purpose, if they, you know, they actually thought it out or whether it was predestined, but it's a very interesting thing that, you know, the son is putting together the sort of religious and non-secular reaction to the enemy that the father
created.
Allowed to put.
Well, yeah, because what has happened over time, or if you look over the history of this country,
yeah.
America has gotten in bed with some of the biggest and worst despots in the history of the planet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Only to jump out of the bed when it no longer suited America's interest to be in bed with these folks. Whether it's Manuel Noriega, whether you're talking, Pinochet in Chile, all over the globe, you find America will, when it was the fight against communism,
right.
they would fund and back anybody that was anti-communist, no matter how repressive, no matter how despotic.
And this administration seems dead set, and I imagine other ones, to doing that just to sort of, you know, make their friends money. Mm-hmm. Is that it's all about money. American interests can be, you know, we're seeing in this administration, can be very specific to just a few people that are American and don't care really about American ideals or about American democracy, but they just care about making themselves and the people that support them some money.
Did you see that thing, the thing that we talked about last week with Cheney?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, back in 2000, before 9/11,
yeah.
the whole terrorism, no, I'm not worried about terrorism. We're making money over there.
Yeah.
When he was doing Halliburton.
When he was doing Halliburton, this Azerbaijan thing, that I just started learning about that the prime minister or the president was, you know, a sort of a fascist guy who did an Armenian genocide. The Congress said you cannot, you know, do business there. And Halliburton wanted to do business there because he saw those Caspian oil reserves, and that was the whole Uzbekistan, pipeline. through Afghanistan that they were fighting for. And, of course, once he got into office, one of the first things President Bush did was drop that congressional stop on doing business with this fascist dictator.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately they started negotiations. Halliburton did.
Oh, absolutely. Because it is, again, we've said this since this network began.
Yeah.
It is about following the money.
And the oil.
And the oil.
yeah.
And the people who make the money, whether it's arms traffickers, drug dealers, or vice presidents of the United States. I mean, I hate to put it that way,
yeah.
but it's pretty much the way it goes. Dick Cheney is not going to be broke when he leaves the vice presidency, no matter when that is.
And no one's ever going to know how much money that cat really has. I mean, I can't even imagine it. He might be dead, you know, within the next few months. Because apparently he's pretty sick. I think we better talk about the convention when we come back.
Why?
Because it's happening.
I know.
And I want to talk to you about your recollections, because you're a little older, a little wiser than me. And apparently there was a time where conventions used to be full of, you know, hostility and fighting, and there fights would break out on the floor.
Vim and vigor, yeah.
Yeah,
no more, though.
Not so much anymore. So let's get into that when we get back here on Air America Radio.
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
Hi there, it's the old pal Bill, sitting poolside and sucking down a cold one. Whoa, I just love summer. Now the Democratic Convention's coming up, so Serious Cracked Up Comedy's doing the Demo Cracked Up Convention. Get it? Demo Cracked Up? That's pretty damn funny. 3 days of the best political humor. That's right, Monday through Wednesday on Serious Cracked Up Comedy 146. Hey, I hope no one's making fun of me.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Tray, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hi, I'm Meg Ryan for Doctors Without Borders. Did you know that more than 14 million people die each year from infectious diseases such as tuberculosis, sleeping sickness, and malaria? Doctors Without Borders, which works in more than 85 countries around the world, is tired of sending their patients home because the treatment is too old, too expensive, or not available. Get informed and get involved by visiting Doctors Without Borders' traveling exhibit called the Access Expo. It's coming to your city this year. For more information, go to their website, doctorswithoutborders.org.
It's Monday. I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley sitting over there. It's Morning Sedition on Air America. We're all alone here in the building. Everyone else is gone. They've just left scraps of paper with maps of Boston. You know what? I don't care. I'm happy I'm not there. I was in that town. I lived there for over 8 years.
Really?
Yeah. And that town, you know, on any given afternoon, the traffic is a disaster. I can't even imagine what it's like now, with or without the new expressway. That place is a disaster traffic-wise. And it's not... Boston, well, a lot of people don't know, is that it's not on a grid. It's impossible to get around that city. It's like a crescent. It's like everything converges on this one point, and it moves around in a radius. Like there's
fans out. Yeah,
fans out. So there's no way to get anywhere. Like, you know, west could mean, you know, southwest, a little more southwest. You know, like when you see signs on the freeway.
Yeah.
You never know which direction you're really going because it doesn't work straight out box grid, you know.
And they've closed down a piece of highway around the Fleet Center, which is going to be a nightmare for ordinary Bostonians trying to get back and forth to work. A couple of train stops that are also closed for the throughout the duration of the convention. But that's okay because we're not there. All our trains
work. You know, I can't stand. I got a problem with big events. You know, of any kind. If I go and there's a lot of people there that are going to, there's all these parties and stuff, I just end up spending a lot of time going, well, how come I'm not at that one? I have what I call diminishing buffet syndrome.
Let me explain something.
Let me explain that to you.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something about political conventions.
Yeah.
There are going to be like 20,000 people there. There'll be three times as much media as there are delegates.
And they'll all be at the place where I'm not, and I'll be saying, how come everyone is at that place and I'm in my room?
But everybody wants to go to the same parties that you want to go to.
Yeah.
They don't hold 20,000 people.
You know what the problem with most parties is? They're not about me.
Well, politicians suck at parties anyway.
Do they?
You know what? They're not great. The greatest party I ever went to at a convention used to be Willie Brown's party, the former mayor of San Francisco, former speaker of the California
Senate. He had a party just every day.
Yeah. Willie Brown gave the hottest ticket for anybody. It didn't matter, regardless of race, creed, color, or place of national origin. If you got to whatever town it was, and you heard that there was a party, you had to get to Willie Brown's party.
Well, I lived in San Francisco for a couple of years.
Okay.
And, you know, anytime that cat would be in public, it felt like you're at a party.
You're at a party.
Like,
right?
Like, there's Willie Brown. Everyone's like, Willie!
Well, he gave a party at the 88 convention in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, I mean, it was an old-fashioned throwdown. There were certain Congress people that were jumping up on top of tables, dancing.
Yeah.
There was a DJ, there were homies, you know, Snoop Dogg, I don't know. It was just that kind of a party. It was a great throwdown kind of party. And then a couple of days later, the Reverend Jesse Jackson gave another party that was kind of sort of like that. But a lot of these parties,
back in the day when Jesse Jackson could party a little bit.
Could party a little bit, yeah. And we're going to get into him a little bit later as well. But the party thing, see, as I get older, first of all, it gets more and more overrated. The other thing is, people tend to rate parties by food.
Yeah,
you know, if the food is no good, the party's no.
That's the diminishing buffet syndrome, which I've titled myself. If you're a psychiatrist or psychologist, this is what diminishing buffet syndrome is. I have a weird fear. Like, let's say you're on your way to a party, or let's say an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Mm-hmm.
I will leave my house. You know, let's say the all-you-can-eat buffet starts at 11,
uh-huh.
Okay? At around 11, if I'm going to eat there at 12, I'll start to freak out a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, because I think that they're going to run out of food. All right? So, and it's sort of the way I feel about everything. You know, like if I'm going to a party, I'm like, well, we better get there before the food's gone.
No,
because
yeah.
If the food, you know, if they got good, and it's not like I need to eat the whole time, but I have this weird thing in my brain where it's like, what if they run out of food?
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, it's funny about the Democrats, because back in the, I first started covering Democratic conventions in 1976.
Yeah.
In 76, the spread that they put out for the media was sumptuous. I mean, you had cold cuts, you had two or three entrees, you had all kinds of stuff, salads, the whole nine.
Don't you love to eat?
Yeah.
God, I love to eat.
But over the years, it's kind of been cut back and cut back and cut back until a few years ago.
That's just a vending machine.
Yeah, in Chicago, it was like a hot dog cart. Oh, I mean, it was ridiculous.
And they think that's cute. It's their cheap way of saying it's cute. They roll a hot dog cart in. It's just like Chicago streets.
It's right out in the street. Well, you know what they did? To be fair, in Chicago, what they did was get a bunch of the local restaurants to contribute stuff, right?
That's nice.
But it was, Mark, it was like a scene from The Birds. You know, when you walk in, it's like the food court opened at like 6 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
So you go in the food court about 25 minutes to 6, and there's like one guy sitting off in the corner, because they had all these tables for people. So one guy sitting in the table, right?
Yeah.
You turn around, you talk to some people, you turn back around, there's five people just sitting there, acting like they're trying to act like they're not waiting for the food court to open.
Yeah.
10 minutes to 6, there's 20 people.
Acting like they're all sitting there just
waiting. And at 6 o'clock, they pull it. It's like they open the velvet ropes at Studio 54, and the hordes of the unwashed multitude crammed as much food. I mean, stack stuff up
it's
on plates.
Free food,
it's unbelievable.
So now let me ask you a question, okay? Because I'll have to admit, as some people already know listening, that I am not what you'd call a political scientist. I was not a good student in any way. There was a time, apparently, where these conventions, were really filled with a certain amount of competition in terms of, you know, what was going to be covered, what's on the platform, who's going to speak, and now it's pretty much a set show business thing.
Well, yeah.
But what, like, tell me what it was like and why it's different.
Well, God, you're making me sound old now. In the old days, right,
yeah.
Back in the turn of the 20th century, up through the age of television,
yeah.
In most instances, the nominee was not decided until the convention.
Okay.
So what you'd have were these days of balloting to try and decide who the nominees
so
would end
all the,
up being.
All the cats that dropped out wouldn't have dropped out already.
No.
It didn't work like that.
In many instances, it would come down to maybe two or maybe three people
okay.
at a convention.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have these different ballots, and in many instances, the nominee was decided in a smoke-filled room with three or four guys who said, okay, well, we're going to swing delegates this way or swing delegates that way. And that was how, I mean, that was what the nuts and bolts of the convention. Television and media coverage started to change that
right.
over time.
Because they decided they didn't want to see people confused and fighting and arguing and have all that suspense and all those things that are actually good television on.
Well, and plus, you couldn't televise a smoke-filled room no matter what happened.
Really?
They didn't let you in the back while they were deciding because they didn't want people to see the kinds of things people did.
Right. Those were actually, they didn't want any footage of the they.
Yeah.
The they that, you know, they decide who is going to be the president. You can't have them on.
Some call it compromise, others call it bending over.
Right,
so there was
right.
a lot of stuff that people just did not want to be seen.
But I guess a lot of the people now, I guess this is a unique convention in terms of what's been going on politically, is that the Democrats are really mobilizing. They're definitely
yeah.
all on the same page. They're excited. They're full of momentum, and they're really getting behind Kerry.
They've gotten behind Kerry, and they have gotten behind Kerry's theme for the convention, which is essentially don't bash Bush too much.
But also realize I'm not him.
I'm
Yay!
Not him, yes. See, their whole point from this convention, the whole point for this convention, from the Kerry's perspective,
yeah.
is to make people more familiar with the candidate, reach out to those independent and swing state voters who may not yet be decided, which is a relatively small number of people this time around, Mark.
Yeah.
In years past, you know, people had to, depending on which candidate was, for example, Clinton in 96, he didn't really have to do a whole heck of a lot. He was an incumbent popular president. Clinton in 92, on the other hand, had to sell his vision, not just to the American people, but to a lot of people who wanted to see someone else, Jerry Brown or others, end up being president.
So I saw a lot of, I'm learning more about Kerry every day. I mean, even last night I watched a bio of him on CNN. It was very interesting, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's sort of a complicated, strange guy.
Well, yeah, he is a complicated,
you know,
strange guy. But tonight belongs to the Clintons, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Coming up, the presidential Palm Pilot, the missing 400, the liberal agenda, and more here on Air America Radio. Stay with us.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The nation's Democrats are gathered in Boston for the start of the party's national convention. They are there, along with the media, for a week of speeches and analysis. Former President Bill Clinton is expected to outline what is at stake in this election this November with a speech tonight. As expected, the Bush administration scaled back, and the military is said to be hurting the morale of many U.S. soldiers stationed in Iraq. Many of the soldiers are said to be speaking out against the president as they question the purpose of the Iraqi invasion. occasion in the first place. For Iraqi President Saddam Hussein is spending his time in solitary confinement writing poetry, gardening, reading the Quran, and snacking on American muffins and cookies. Who knew? One of the poems is about his arch enemy, George Bush. And some are saying that President Bush is already trying to flip the script with forced resignation last December of United States Archivist John W. Carlin. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hi there. It's your old pal Bill, sitting poolside and sucking down a cold one. Whoa. I just love summer. Now the Democratic Convention's coming up, so Serious Cracked Up Comedy's doing the Demo Cracked Up Convention. Get it? Demo Cracked Up? That's pretty damn funny. 3 days of the best political humor. That's right, Monday through Wednesday on Serious Cracked Up Comedy, 146. Hey, I hope no one's making fun of me.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Chris wants to know if he should buy Google stock when it's offered. I'll tell him why not to after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Chris is thinking about buying Google stock at its initial offering. Past couple of days, I've been bombarded with information about the new Google IPO. What do you think about buying shares of Google? IPO, for those of you that don't know, is initial public offering. I would not put a dime in it. And that's not to say that Google isn't wonderful. However, there's an entire business landscape littered with dot-com going public failures and one or two successes. The point is you're entering one of the most risky business landscapes that there has ever been known to man. And you're going to do that with a single stock investment, which adds even more risk. I can tell you that I own some aggressive growth stock mutual funds that invest in some dot-com stocks as a part of a whole portfolio strategy. And that lowers my risk way low. And if this Google IPO is awesome, they'll be buying into it. But I wouldn't buy it. I don't buy single stocks. You stand a better shot at the roulette wheel, dude. You really do.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Monday, morning's edition, Mark Maron, Mark Riley.
Yo!
We're here. I'm sitting on a stool. I usually stand up and do this show, but I brought in a stool, a classic comedy stool that I actually stained myself in a ritual preparing for my one-man show, Jerusalem Syndrome, a few years back that I did off-Broadway for about 6 months.
Ritual staining?
Well, you know, I get really hung up with stuff, man.
Really?
I like to engage in a sort of like, I thought that if I stained the chair and I wore certain rings and had a certain rock in my pocket, that everything would make sense and everything would be good. I had belief. I was a superstitious person. But the staining of the chair, I like doing it just because I wanted to feel connected to it. Like I
you did it.
Somehow.
It's your chair.
Yeah, I'm a kind of guy.
It's
Mark,
a part of you.
I'll break in my own pants. You know what I mean? Like
as opposed to having somebody else do it?
Well, yeah, you know, you can go to the store and buy pants that look used already. Or you can go buy
used
pants.
I heard about that. See, I'm old. I don't.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. You can actually go to, like, the Gap or the Levi's store and actually buy jeans that have been peed in. You know, and because they have a certain look. They have a certain integrity to them. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Like, the little stains and stuff.
But let's do this. This just came in from Ramon, who is out.
Oh,
he's out. He no longer is hiding. He's in the Oval Office. Here's the presidential palm pilot he downloaded this morning. Here's the schedule for Bush today. 9 o'clock a.m. Wake up in Crawford to singing Big Mouth Billy Bass. Ah, it's good to be home. 11 a.m. Democratic convention starts tonight. Initiate Operation Poison the Chowder. 11:30 a.m. As a diversion, have Ashcroft raise terror alert chart to baboon ass red. 12 noon, put on real-life cowboy clothes. Go outside and clear some brush. Ah, it's so peaceful here. Just the earth and the sky and 24 Secret Service agents with sniper rifles and taser guns. 1 p.m., eat lunch that's more in touch with American values than Kerry's lunch. 2 p.m., call Lance Armstrong. Congratulate him on winning the Tour de France. No matter how strong the urge, don't mention what happened to his thingy. 8 p.m., watch Clinton speak. Damn, he's good. Go to back porch and shoot off pistol until I feel better. 8:10 p.m. Apologize to Secret Service agents for shooting pistols. Find a new way to blow off steam. A new tax cut. Yeah. 9 p.m. bedtime. Listen to singing jackalope. Think happy thought headline. Quote, thousands of Democrats sickened by poison chowder. End quote.
Jackalope?
Jackalope. The mythical beast of the postcards of the Great West.
Ooh. So you want to talk about who's up today? And what's going on today?
Well, yeah, we were going to kick into the Clinton action. That they're putting him on Monday so he doesn't upstage Kerry on Thursday.
Yeah.
I hope there's enough distance. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's two nights. And, you know, 20 speakers later, I hope Kerry doesn't get any residual shrapnel from the charismatic Clinton machine.
Well, you know, they did the same thing in 2000.
Yeah.
And it was funny.
And you distance everyone from Clinton's charisma.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were staying in the hotel right next door to the Clinton.
No one has successfully translated, you know, deep-seated emotional need into charismatic, you know, love for the people like old Bill.
Bill Clinton, that's right. And see, back in 2000, he didn't even have a book out.
Yeah,
you know, that has sold 1.5 million copies, and a thousand of which he signed in Boston yesterday.
Yeah, but it's going to be like the political gravity's rainbow. I mean, who's going to get through that book? Isn't there like 1,000 pages? I mean, come on, is he that interesting?
No. You know what it is? It's like having a Lincoln Center for class, like the New York City Opera.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having an opera house
mm-hmm.
in your town.
Yeah.
You never go there. But it's nice to know it's there if you chose.
Oh, no, believe me, I'm a book guy, man. I've got hundreds of books.
Yeah.
I like books because it makes me feel like I possess the information. I've got books with titles like you wouldn't, you know, like 1,000 Plateaus, you know, which is like this philosophical text. You
was
know?
That Leary?
No, it was somebody, it was Deleuze, I think, I can't pronounce their names even, you know, but it was some heavy stuff. And every one of those books that I have has got a bookmark at about 13 pages in, you know,
yeah.
Because I'll read the first 13 to 14 pages, I'll be like, I get it. I got it. I know what it's supposed to mean. But with Clinton, it's like, you know, I'm a little tired of Clinton. I got to be honest with you. I'm glad he's speaking. I'm glad he's got the book out, but enough, you know. Let's go back home and, you know, do whatever
you need. Well, people are buying the book, not because they're going to read it, but because it'll be there when people come over to their house and say, gee, that's deep. He's got a Bill Clinton book on
it. Are they going to say that's deep? Or they're going to say, did you read the part about it?
Yeah, right. Well, they're speaking today. Al Gore is speaking today.
Yeah.
Terry McAuliffe is speaking today. Our guests, who will be with us a bit later on, Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones from Ohio, who's co-chair of the platform committee,
she is speaking today.
And the theme is Plan for America's Future. Tomorrow, Tom Daschle, Howard Dean, Teresa Hines Carey, who told a reporter to the other day,
mm-hmm.
Barack Obama, friend of the room and Democratic candidate for the United States Senate.
Did she tell the reporter to off?
No.
Oh.
Beep it. No, oh. Shove it.
She told him
to shove it.
So the future of America, that's the talk today. So that's good. So they're basically gonna lay down the idea that America has a future, which is good.
Which is a good thing.
Which is up in the air with Bush.
Well, you know, you're not that far off.
Well, let's get into a little of that platform when we come back in a minute here on Air America Radio.
Hi there, it's your old pal Bill, sitting poolside and sucking down a cold one. Whoa, I just love summer. Now the Democratic Convention's coming up, so Serious Cracked Up Comedy's doing the Demo Cracked Up Convention. Get it? Demo Cracked Up? That's pretty damn funny. 3 days of the best political humor. That's right, Monday through Wednesday on Serious Cracked Up Comedy 146. Hey, I hope no one's making fun of me.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Racial steering is illegal. It takes away your right to see the homes you want, deserve, and can afford. If you think you've been a victim of housing discrimination, contact the National Fair Housing Alliance. We'll respond to your call within 24 hours and inform you of your rights. Check us out online at nationalfairhousing.com or call 1-866-222-FAIR. That's 1-866-222-FAIR. A public service message brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Classes on Tape.
Okay.
Repeat the following phrase. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Son, you're so proud. And that's a great test.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I started hearing voices telling me, you're dying, you're dying. I couldn't make them stop. My heart kept speeding up and slowing down. Now I feel paranoid all the time, and I can't tell what is real and what isn't. I'm on medication, but it doesn't help. Sometimes I believe I'm already dead and in hell.
Unfortunately, this 19-year-old learned that happiness and a heightened sense of touch aren't the only side effects of ecstasy. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Here we are, Morning's Edition, Mark Maron and Mark Riley, covering the Democratic National Convention from New York City.
No, that's the Republicans.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. We're doing a different angle. I got to be honest with you. There's not a lot going on here for the Democratic convention in New York. I was out on the streets. Traffic's running smoothly. I've seen no stars, no politicians. You know, there's no protests here against the Democratic National Convention. I don't know what's going on, but you'd think it'd be a lot busier.
Yeah.
Except that it's in Boston. I guess we're going to talk to Liz Winstead in a few minutes. She's going to tell us how much fun she's having at the parties. Having food, you know, bonding with Bono. I doubt it.
Maybe.
Do you think that Liz pestered Bono? Hey, no. Bono, I'm from Air America. And I think you're hot.
Oh, that's cold. That's so cold.
And Bono would be like, who are you?
Yes. You know, I'm kind of having convention withdrawal. This is the first one since 76 I haven't covered.
I've never been. I was at an inauguration party. I was at when Clinton got into office the first time. I went to.
Oh, in 93.
My buddy Jim, who we had on the show, Jim Loftus, he worked on the advance team for Clinton. He got me got me one of those super special passes.
Oh, wow.
I went to all the parties, and I got wasted because it was back in the day.
Okay.
In my day.
In your day.
And I was wasted, man. I went to the MTV party, and I was in the VIP section, and I swear to God. Now, maybe my memory is fooling with me, but I really think that Uma Thurman was hitting on me. I really believe it. I have a moment in my mind where I think that happened. And I ran into Lisa Marie Presley.
Really?
Yeah. And I saw her and I didn't know what to say to her. Do you ever have that weird thing where you want to have sex with famous people's daughters? Like, I've had that with several, you know, where for years when I was younger, I really wanted to have sex with Carolyn Kennedy. I just did, just because she was beautiful and she was, you know.
Presley. She was?
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay.
And then but for some reason, Elvis Presley's daughter, and I was so drunk and so stupid, and I didn't know what to say to her, and I just seen her dedicate. She was at some stamp dedication ceremony for the stamp that came out with Elvis on it.
Oh,
and
wow.
I saw it on CNN. So I'm like drunk. You know when you're drunk and you say those stupid things? I'm like, hey, Lisa Marie, what's up? I saw you on that stamp thing. That was really cool, man. The stamp with your dad's on it. And she gave me that look like, why are you talking?
And you are?
It was worse than that.
Let's go into...
the real stuff.
Terror Watch!
Yes. We don't have any music for it or anything. Wait, hold on. How about that?
There we go.
That's good.
That is music that absolutely applies.
Well, you know that Tom Ridge got on TV and just said, these blanket threats are killing me. Like, hey, something's going to happen. There's a little chatter out there. We don't know where. We don't know when. But it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm washing my hands of it.
I'm busy.
What do you got?
Well, our first story should make people a little nervous. Morocco has warned Spain that they've lost track of about 400 Islamist militants who were trained in al-Qaeda camps in Afghanistan, Bosnia, or Chechnya.
It makes it sound like they're all on the same bus tour.
Yeah.
Like the 400 were in four Greyhounds that were traveling. We don't know where they are.
Well, this is according to the Spanish newspaper El País. Moroccan authorities gave that warning to Spain's leading al-Qaeda expert. And, you know, they've been working in security matters because a number of the people that they accuse of perpetrating that bombing in Madrid are, in fact, Moroccans. Authorities say there are 600 Moroccan nationals who were trained at al-Qaeda camps, but only knew the whereabouts of 200 of them, leaving, of course, if you do the math, 400 missing. Now, where could they be? Could they be in Iraq?
They could be in Iraq. They could be in Mexico, for God's sakes. I read something recently that they're coming up through Mexico and they're posing as Hispanics.
Posing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Ahmed Sanchez.
See, you're no good. No, but it's true. There have been pockets of al-Qaeda discovered in Mexico and in South America. A couple of places like in that area where Brazil and a couple of these other countries all border each other. There's also supposed to be some al-Qaeda cells in that part of the world as well.
Oh, man. What about Queens? I'm not going to go into my fear. I talked about it all weekend. Here's another Terror Watch piece. In Texas, this is great. Cops detained a family, all right, after airport authorities mistakenly reported their small plane had violated a no-fly zone near Bush's ranch.
Yeah.
Okay? In the confusion, though, the pilot they were really seeking
drove off.
Took off.
So
this family lands in their little private plane after flying up from Louisiana. They bust them. They don't bust them. They hold them and they question them. And it turns out they had their flight route and there was nothing wrong with it. But the dude that did fly through the Crawford airspace split. But this is ironic only because we're winning the war on terror. That we're much safer, yet the guy who flew by Bush's ranch waved to the president. You know, got out when no one knew he was, you know, even one guy.
Nice ranch.
Where is the guy? He probably didn't do nothing.
No, neither one of them did anything. But see, the amazing thing about this, and Mark, this is the thing that tells you that we still got problems as far as the war on terror is concerned.
Oh, really?
This family, Del Hinton's family, were detained for an hour, and according to Del Hinton, I tried to tell them we had come from Shreveport, but they wouldn't listen. I was on the radar the whole time. The important phrase there is they wouldn't listen. These people had been coming back from a casino in Shreveport, Louisiana, had been on the radar the entire time. Perfectly legal, no problem. But the Secret Service insisted that they were the ones that had done the
violating the no-fly zone. They kept pressuring them to give them the information that they wanted. You're part of al-Qaeda, right? We can go into Iraq, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this guy was confused. He's like, I'm with my family. But, you know, you're part of al-Qaeda, right? No, I'm just, you got my right. But listen to me. You're not going by the party line. This is how this administration works.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what we want from you. You accommodate what we need, then we'll take the appropriate action.
The plane they were looking for actually landed 10 minutes before the Hinton's plane. And the guy just drove up. Now, they said that he was
probably
supposed to come
back
to the airport yesterday.
Right. Probably has no idea they're looking for him.
Yeah.
Probably didn't even, you know, he was just winging it, having a little joyride.
Well, I mean, they're saying that even the guy they're looking for did not intentionally violate this airspace. So the notion that they went detained this perfectly normal American family, which I imagine maybe they'll get like a personal phone call or a visit from them, because, you know, they need every vote they can get in these places.
Yeah.
It's just it's unfathomable that people are going to try and act as though we're in a better shape on the terror front than we were when this sort of thing. I mean, look, this kind of thing can happen.
Yeah,
all right.
Sure.
But then you think about Port Newark, right? Not that far from here.
I can't even
with containers for days.
I can't even think about it, man. You know, I drive out there, I go to the airport. You know, when you fly into
Newark,
hundreds of containers, and they haven't got any policy. They're only searching, like, what, 2% of them?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk more about the fear when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Hi
there, it's your old pal Bill, sitting poolside and sucking down a cold one. Whoa, I just love summer. Now the Democratic Convention's coming up, so Serious Cracked Up Comedy's doing the Demo Cracked Up Convention. Get it? Demo Cracked Up? That's pretty damn funny. 3 days of the best political humor. That's right, Monday through Wednesday on Serious Cracked Up Comedy, 146. Hey, I hope no one's making fun of me.
There is no scientific evidence that use of one drug necessarily causes use of any other drug. Relieved? Well, here's a reality check. Among adolescents who use illicit drugs, such as cocaine and heroin, almost every one of them used marijuana first. Makes you think, doesn't it? Help our kids understand. For more information, call 1-800-729-6686. Playing the guitar, going to a museum, watching a movie, eating French fries. Do you know what these things all have in common? When you do them with kids, you're helping to prevent crime. So spend time, anytime, with kids. You'll help keep them away from crime and help prevent crime in your community. Call 1-800-WE-PREVENT. That's 1-800-WE-PREVENT.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one. And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I wanted the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Morning. It's okay. It's really okay. Right, Mark?
Absolutely.
Tell me it's okay for
it
to be Monday.
I concur. It is okay.
It's okay for it to be Monday. Sometimes on Sunday night, I get a little bit of the dread. I guess everybody does when you have a job. You know, this whole job thing to me is unique and interesting. Because I did my old job, my other job, which is stand-up comedy. I surprised some of the people. Some of the Morning Sedition fans came down, were surprised by my capacity for dirtiness when I want to.
Oh.
I forget that I have that in me, and it was nice to let it out. To let out the filth on the second show.
Now, Saturday. Does our guest know about your capacity for...
Oh, Liz Winstead definitely knows about my capacity for filth. I mean, she's known me as a comic for 20 years. Liz, good morning.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Liz.
I have to say, Mark.
Yeah.
Your capacity for dirty is what makes dirty funny.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, it's weird. I can't do it on the air, but I did it Saturday night at the Laugh Factory in Times Square.
I love that. And plus, it used to be Show World, which makes it extra fun.
It was great. It was great. I summoned the ghosts of millions of dead seamen.
Well, did you know that there is a priest over in the parish that is Times Square, which is just, as anybody who's ever been over there, just he's one of these really cool activists, lefty priests.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he tried to shut down Show World, and maybe he succeeded by because the Peep Show booths were not handicapped to the handicapped
standards? Yeah. Well, not physically handicapped anyways. Emotionally and mentally.
Emotionally, they were for days.
Yeah, that's Holy Cross. I know that parish.
Yeah.
You know who came by? Do you know Dan Vitale?
Oh, I love Dan.
Yeah, Dan came by to watch me work on Friday, and he's like, oh, Mark, if you'd only known what I did in these rooms.
So, Liz, you're up at the Democratic National Convention in Boston.
You guys, it is the biggest pig fest at this point. There is, you wouldn't know if it was Democrats or Republicans at this point.
Explain Pig Fest. Is that a fun thing?
Yeah.
No. It is like They had this welcome media party on Saturday night where they invite the media, and then the hordes of just gigantic silo-esque reporters from all over the globe wander into this international food fest.
Ooh.
And it's this, it looks like the worst Epcot thing you've ever seen.
How was the food, though? Was there enough?
There was, you know, there's always enough food in America.
Good. I'm getting anxious just thinking about the food might be running out, but it's not.
Well, you know, there was like those big carving tables where they have like slabs of roast beef and gravy right next to Belgian waffles.
Sure, sure.
And then you see them eating it all, and there's like the Ohio journalists are just rolling in it. And then they had...
We're from a swing state. Give me that roast beef.
And they had fountains of chocolate that you could dip fruit and sponge cake into. And it was very nice to see white and black alike standing together at the chocolate fountain.
Chocolate fountains? Yeah. Man, I can't believe I'm missing that. You know, what happened to our tickets? I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm upset now.
Here's the deal. It's there was no one at 6 in the morning. You know, but it's interesting. We went to the Blue Dog party last night.
Who's the Blue Dog? What's that?
The Blue Dog Democrats are the people who refer to themselves as fiscally conservative,
Democrats,
but socially liberal.
Okay,
but
I should know that.
But then when you go, what does that mean, socially liberal? And they go, it's undefined.
Yeah.
So basically, they're cretins.
Yeah.
It was 36 corporate donors. Everybody, it was like, you name it.
Yeah.
It was Altria.
Uh-huh.
It was the insurance company.
Yeah.
Pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
You know, and then what happened was, like, David Brock walks in, sees us, they're sheepish. All these people walking in who've all been on our shows.
Yes.
See me outside going, so, hey, right on. You're a blue dog Democrat, huh?
Yeah.
Mr. Progressive?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, we heard the Neville Brothers were playing here. It's unbelievable.
Were the Neville Brothers playing there?
Yeah.
You know who the most famous blue dog Democrat is, don't you? Or was?
Yeah.
Gary Condon.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah,
yeah.
I wonder what he's up to. Was he there?
Was he there?
You know, we didn't see him.
All right.
Yeah,
hey, right. Hey, Liz, so we'll check back in with you later. Tomorrow we're going to talk
to you. You check back in with me at any point. I will call you if anything happens between now and an hour, but you'll hear from me every morning.
Yeah,
we want an update.
Okay, I want an update in an hour.
Yeah.
I want a breakfast update.
I'm going to give you a breakfast update because I will see somebody leaving a hotel room who shouldn't be with somebody.
Okay,
we'll want that part.
Definitely.
All right, talk to you in a while, Liz.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay. There's our liberal agenda from the Streisand compound, who I guess is not at the convention if we're still getting the faxes. Maybe. All right, here we go. Here's the liberal agenda for today. One, at the convention, stage reenactment of 1968 Chicago convention riot. This time, nude. Two, go up to Boston policemen, point to your temple and say, my free speech zone is in here, man. Three, complain to convention organizers that there's no time allotted for tribute to Hanoi Jane. I wonder if she's up there. You'd think she'd be up there. I guess they're trying to keep the bum, you know, the people that represent outside of Kerry. Anyway, four, during Clinton's speech, hand out condoms. Yes! Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, this is the first time I feel like I'm being watched because I actually am being watched. There you go, end quote. We'll talk to you in a minute, right, Mark?
In the next hour of Morning Tradition, Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs-Jones, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and Mark Maron's Dream Diary, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
This therapy session is almost over, Bob. Now, the problem?
I was in a car accident. I want my car fixed right, but where? Please, help me!
You're scaring me, Bob.
Wait, I've got it. iCar Gold Class Professionals Businesses!
Great. They know how to fix your vehicle right. They have up-to-date training and keep up with the latest repair methods and technology. Visit the Gold Class Business Directory at www.i-car.com.
iCar, a not-for-profit organization, and the Gold Class Professionals Program are dedicated to training the collision industry to ensure complete and safe repairs.
Big ears, flat feet, bushy hair. Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at Family Learning Programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. The classes are amazing and free. Family Learning Programs. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMLET-1 and pass down the greatest thing of all, a chance.
Ben.
I am the Edison Photograph, to delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The nation's Democrats are gathered in Boston for the start of the party's national convention. They are there, along with the media, for a week of speeches and analysis. Former President Bill Clinton is expected to outline what is at stake in this election this November with a speech tonight. Democrats are saying that this week will be carefully scripted to steer clear of the Bush bashing, since many believe the president is self-destructing himself. Still others say bashing will be the order of the day to convince the undecided why they should cast a vote for John Kerry and John Edwards. Clinton will be introduced by his wife, former First Lady and U.S. Senator of New York, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Clintons are hoping to convince the critics tonight that they want Kerry and Edwards to win. This because many of them are saying they secretly want Bush to be reelected so the Democrats can turn to Hillary to lead the party in 2008. John Kerry is in Florida today, where he plans to visit the Kennedy Space Center with astronaut pioneer John Glenn to decide. Kerry intends to talk about how American ingenuity can help tackle some of the nation's big issues, but Florida's also decided the 2000 presidential recount, and polls show the Sunshine State is again deadlocked. Kerry told a crowd yesterday that he's assembled a legal team to counter voting problems. He specifically mentioned a controversy with a purge of former felons from Florida's voter rolls. More kidnappings in Iraq. Militants say they've captured two missing Pakistanis and an Iraqi contract driver. The abductors appeared on Arabic television and said the foreign workers have been sentenced to death. Meanwhile, another group holding seven truck drivers says it's granted an extension of their deadline, but isn't saying by how much. There's word that morale among American troops in Anbar province of Iraq is on the decline because of waning troop strength, with many soldiers questioning their value to achieving Iraq's goal for sovereignty. Iraq's police and National Guard have killed 13 suspected militants in heavy clashes near Baghdad in one of the fiercest battles the fledgling security forces have faced since the transfer of power. Police and National Guard were attacked by rebel mortar fire and rocket-propelled grenades as they provided security to U.S. forces conducting raids near the rebellious town of Buriz, some 35 miles north of Baghdad. With the 9/11 Commission report topping the charts in the nation's bookstores this weekend, there's more criticism of the Bush White House with respect to providing security for the city of New York. Congressman Anthony Weiner thinks Washington is out of touch with the concerns of those residing in the Empire State.
The president has abandoned not only law enforcement, but many priorities important to New York City and to New York State. It's a function of large tax cuts, large deficits, and funding a very expensive war overseas.
New York Congressman Anthony Weiner. Meanwhile, there's word the government of Great Britain will issue a public information leaflet later today aimed at telling people what to do in the event of a terrorist attack. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hi there. It's your old pal Bill, sitting poolside and sucking down a cold one. Whoa! I just love summer. Now the Democratic Convention's coming up, so Serious Cracked Up Comedy's doing the Demo Cracked Up Convention. Get it? Demo Cracked Up? That's pretty damn funny. 3 days of the best political humor. That's right, Monday through Wednesday on Serious Cracked Up Comedy 146. Hey, I hope no one's making fun of me.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Anna and her husband want to know how to get a home loan with no credit. I'll tell them after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Can you get a home with no credit?
Me and my fiancé are looking to purchase a home, but we're both beginners and neither of us have any credit established.
Well, you can do that if you've paid your landlord early or on time for 2 years and can prove it. And if you paid your landlord early or on time for 2 years, you're steady on your job for 2 years, you have a good down payment, and you're not trying to buy too much house as a percentage of your income, then you qualify for a mortgage. You will need to find a mortgage broker that does what's called manual underwriting, because if they don't, they pull what's called a Beacon score. And you won't have a Beacon score because your credit bureau is blank. And I don't want you to go out and get a bunch of credit just to get a house. That's not necessary. That's a big lie that runs around our culture. You know, collect those things I just talked about, those four things, which is down payment, the payment as a percentage of your income can't be too much, 2 years of job record, and 2 years of landlord record, and then your bank.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're five. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade. Where are those edges?
Dad, please!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Good morning, people. How are you? How are you, Mark Riley?
You sound like about five school teachers I had.
Good morning, children. I'm your teacher today. I'm Mr. Maron. I'll be substituting for the person that knows what they're talking about. So today, I think we'll just read Mad Magazine and enjoy some candy.
Yay!
So they got chocolate fountains over the Democratic Convention. Chocolate fountains!
Now I'm really upset. I'm not, you know, there was a minute, Mark, I was upset about not being up there, but just my competitive instincts.
Yeah.
Because I've always covered conventions, and there's something, you know, there's an adrenaline rush when you set your sights on getting an interview, and you got to go through all kinds of crap to get the person, or you got to trap them. We got Jimmy Carter one time because he was going to somebody else's booth, and one of our reporters, like, corralled him and pulled him, and he sat with us for a half hour. That kind of stuff is what you live for. That and the parties is what you live for.
Well, I'm just sort of getting the hang of the interview thing. You know, this world of radio and interviewing is all new to me because I had to get over that, the original. The obstacle for me was as soon as I'd be around, like, somebody, like a famous person, you know, more famous than me, I would be there, because I did some interviewing years ago for Comedy Central, and I'd be sitting there with the mic, and just part of me was just going, I can't believe I'm talking to Jonathan Winters.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't have any direction for the interview. I just sort of like, yeah, cool, yeah, just keep talking, man, we're hanging out. I'm with Jonathan Winters. That was the funniest one. Jonathan Winters up in Montreal.
Really?
He had me going, yeah, because he's like, Jonathan Winters was great. And he got
me
so bad.
Oh, he's very, very funny.
He's out there. He got me so bad, you know, because he's older, right? And I was asking him, it was at the Montreal Comedy Festival, must be 10 years ago already. I said, so you've been getting around, been seeing any shows, seen any new comics? He's like, you know, I haven't been able to because I'm here in the hotel where my wife is sick. And I'm like, oh, man. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. He goes, yeah, I shouldn't have put her in air cargo. It was wrong. And there are animals down there. And he got, you know... I completely bought him. And the weird thing was, is Dick Cavett, for some reason, was hanging out, too, in the tent while we were talking. And he was such a huge Jonathan Winters fan. You know, Cavett's out of his nut.
Yeah.
And, like, so he's on the headset. He's, like, told my sound guy to give him the headphones because he likes Jonathan Winters. So I got Jonathan Winters making fun of me, and, you know, taking me for a ride. And Cavett's hysterical, you know, on the on the cans. Yes. So that
must have been.
But I'm getting off. I'm learning how to do the interview stuff. I like talking to these people. I just, like, a lot of times I don't know, you know, when I should go, no, wait a minute. What about that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, even when we interviewed Richard Benvenisto last week, I thought we did a great job, and there was only a certain amount of things that he was going to tell us. But there was part of my instinct was that, you know, in a big way, they were a little too diplomatic and a little too bipartisan in what the commission
had to say.
Hey, man,
you were too nice.
Well, they were too nice. They didn't investigate things as thoroughly as they probably investigated it thoroughly. But what they chose to put in and what not to put in out of fear of indicting this president was too big of a compromise to make.
You know, it's interesting when we talk about, you know, putting stuff in and what you don't put in.
Mm-hmm.
The theme for this convention this week is don't bash Bush.
Isn't that weird?
For whatever reasons, the Democratic National Committee and the convention itself has taken the position that it's better to highlight John Kerry than to bash George W. Bush. Now, this gives us here at Morning's Edition a tremendous opportunity.
Yeah, because I'd love to just say right now, if I could, that Bush sucks. All right? And if I could, I could just say that George Bush is a worthless president. And if you don't mind me saying, I think he's an arse. He's a big arse. And you know what? I don't have to say it because I got something right here that was taken off of the Al Jazeera website. Not Al Jazeera, I'm sorry. The Abu Hafs al-Masri Brigades, an Islamic fanatic jihadist website. It's a message to President George Bush. And obviously I'm not supporting terrorism in any way, but I just want you guys to know that Bush is their choice, that the terrorists are campaigning for George Bush. A word for the foolish Bush, quote, "We know that you live in the worst days of your life in fear of death squads which spoiled your world, and we are very keen that you do not lose in the forthcoming elections, as we know very well that any big attack can bring down your government, and this is what we do not want. We cannot get anyone who is more foolish than you, who uses force instead of wisdom and diplomacy. Your stupidity and religious extremism is what we want, as our people will not awaken from their deep sleep except when there is an enemy."
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's got people in Boston, too. There are about 30 campaign staffers from the Bush campaign that are in Boston to spin literally every word that comes out of this convention, you know, to Bush's advantage. But the Kerry people have made this...
How does that work? It's like, you know... Vote for John Kerry.
See, means, the flip-flopping, wishy-washy liberal.
Yeah. See what he means? He's saying that he wants people to vote for him, and then a while back he said that America was a bad place. He's got no point of view.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the kind of stuff that is probably going to be the backroom stuff that goes on during the course of the entire week. But, you know, they have vetted every single speech. All these different people are going to be making speeches at the convention.
Yeah.
The Kerry staff has looked at each and every one of them. Not to censor them, you understand, but to make sure that they're all, what is it you say at the top of the stay on message?
I don't know. What did I say?
No. I mean, every the presidential palm pilot every morning.
Yeah.
Wake up, stay on message.
That's right.
Well, this is what the Kerry people are doing. They're saying, look, all of these folks need to stay on message. In fact, there's a report that says that they agreed with 75% of what Barack Obama, the keynote speaker, had to say. They had to edit, I guess, the rest of it.
Yeah. Like, hey, Barack, you know where you say Bush is a... That's got to go.
That's got to go.
That's going to play in the big room.
Now, John Kerry himself was out in Columbus, Ohio over the weekend, and he set the tone on the Bush situation.
When I see people on the other side of the fence saying 4 more years, I sometimes say to myself, 4 more years of what? 4 more years of... 4 more years of jobs being lost, 4 more years of the deficit growing bigger and bigger,
4 more years of...
Yep, that's it.
Who wants to put up with this for another four years?
Yeah, right. Now, that's about as Bush bashing as you're going to hear during the course of this whole
week.
Well,
let's hear some delicate Bush bashing from our listeners. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. Where you at? What's going on? How are you? Good morning here on Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
You work hard and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890. Serious.
Hi there, the old pal Bill, sitting poolside and sucking down a cold one. Whoa, I just love summer. Now the Democratic Convention's coming up, so Serious Cracked Up Comedy's doing the Demo Cracked Up Convention. Get it? Demo Cracked Up, that's pretty damn funny. 3 days of the best political humor. That's right, Monday through Wednesday on Serious Cracked Up Comedy, 146. Hey, I hope no one's making fun of me.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Train, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Well, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
The International Reading Association is a professional membership organization dedicated to promoting high levels of literacy for all. Their objective is to improve and encourage a lifetime reading habit. With members and affiliates in 99 countries, their network extends to more than 300,000 people worldwide. For more information about the International Reading Association, please go to www.reading.org.
Sedition, that's the show you're listening to. That's Mark Riley right over there.
Hi.
I'm Mark Maron. I'm standing up now. I'm out of the stool. The number here is 866-303-2270 if you want to chat. You can give us a call at 866-303-2270. We just got word from Boston that some people are waking up. It's not clear who, but we're assuming that some of them are either celebrities or political figures, that some alarms are going off and snooze buttons are being hit. Speaking of snooze buttons, this is my dream from last night. My therapist asked me to write these down so I can bring them in Thursday. I share them with you. It's the first night of the convention, and everything's going pretty much like you'd expect, but suddenly the house lights go dark. A single spotlight hits the stage. From somewhere in the darkness, we hear, da, 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 da. There are lasers and fireworks and confetti, and stepping into the spotlight is Bill Clinton himself in a magnificent white jumpsuit. A jeweled belt buckle, gold chains, shiny aviator shades. He holds out his cape on the back, executed in rhinestones, is the cover of his book, My Life. His web address and a couple of positive reviews. The 20-piece band is cranking. Grown women are screaming and sobbing and throwing their underwear at him. Grown men rush the stage, hoping some of his magic will rub off. Bill grins and says,
I'm back, everybody. Did you miss me?
The crowd erupts like it was the Final Four and the World Series put together. During the screaming, Bill takes a scarf from around his neck, wipes off the sweat, and gives it to a lady in the front row, Helen Thomas, who faints. Bill lets the noise die down for a second and says,
I'd like to do a song that means a lot to me, because without you and your love, I'm nothing.
The room is hushed. Tenderly, he begins to sing.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have said and done. I'm so sorry I was blind, but you were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. Tell me that your sweet love hasn't died. Give me Give me one more chance to keep you satisfied.
Yes.
I'll keep you satisfied.
Yes. Bill Clinton, and he's speaking just to me. He feels all of our pain, all our weakness, all our outlaw sexuality. You are always on our minds. And if it weren't expressly forbidden in the Constitution, we would give you one more chance, and another, and another, and another. As the band swells to a climax, Bill drops to one knee, head bowed, overcome by his own intensity, sweating, gasping, exhausted. This man has given everything for us. The crowd can barely summon the energy to call him back to the stage, but they do. And for 20 minutes, they whistle and stomp their feet and shout themselves hoarse, "Come back, Bill! Come back! Don't leave us, Bill!" But he does leave, and when Bill sees John Kerry backstage, he says,
"Follow that, Yankee."
I woke up and my bed was filled with 1996. You want to hang out, Bill?
Yeah, I'll stick around a little while.
Okay.
I love to perform.
Hey, Susan in Long Island, what's going on?
Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Boy, that's a tough act to follow. Well, I'm calling from Long Island, and I just wanted to alert people to something that I really think is quite upsetting. You know, I definitely get upset when they trick kids. I'm a retired teacher. I taught for 30-some years.
Yeah.
And they advertise something called the Long Island Freedom Festival.
Uh-huh.
You know, support our troops, support the military and their sacrifices.
Wasn't it Sean Hannity's thing?
Yeah.
Well, if you read a little further down the ad, and they were advertising it on all the youth radio stations, one metal, one rock, and one alternative.
Really?
It was owned by the same company,
right.
Not Clear Channel, another company.
Uh-huh.
And, but if you read further down the ad, it had all kinds of interactive games, mobile, Air Force, movie theater, all
right.
Kinds of surround
video games,
sales.
Yeah.
So a number of us figured that the recruiters would be waiting right there to sign up the kids before they knew what they were getting themselves into. And so Pax Christi and a number of other peace people organized a vigil in front Saturday and Sunday saying war is not a video game.
Right,
and,
that's good.
You know, read on, support our veterans, give them better health care and benefits when
uh-huh.
they get back.
Uh-huh, that's great. So you're saying that it was good they activated and they were able
they
to raise awareness
they,
of this trick.
And it was a shock. I mean, this community, there are a lot of people that it's been ruled by a Republican machine for a very long time.
Yes.
And people think they really do here.
Yeah.
But it's a very working class community, and many times the only opportunity the kids have is the military to go to college. And it's a horrible thing. I went out collecting signatures for a local Democratic candidate.
Yes.
And one block alone, we had three houses with stars on them. And these are the people that are doing much more than their fair share. Well, you know, while people who are sending nobody make all kind of money off this war. But anyway, it was interesting the reaction
yeah.
we got. We got some, you know, a lot of honks, a lot of waves.
Good, good.
A few one-fingered peace salutes. But support also, which in this community, which
yeah.
has been under the thumb of a Republican machine for so long, it's really wonderful.
Well, that's great. Thank you for doing all that great work, Susan. Really appreciate it. Well, that's pretty intense. They trick kids in a way, you know, with the video games, get them
yeah.
all worked up. This is what it could be like, and they want to go to college, and then they end up, stuck in the reserves for how long?
That's the story of recruitment generally, I think.
Yeah.
You know, they bring you in not to fight. They bring you in, you know, you can get skills, upgrades, you can go to college. You can get all of these benefits, and as a byproduct, you may get sent off to Iraq to fight.
And also what she was saying was pretty interesting, the sort of class drop-off and the class
yeah.
you know, schism between you know who really serves and who doesn't serve and how imbalanced that all is, and raising awareness of that. Omar in Westchester, long time. What's up, buddy?
Omar.
Eminem, what's good? How
not much. We're good. You?
All right, good. I've been hearing a lot about, you know, the Democrats, you know, we don't want to bash Bush and stuff like that. So since the politicians don't want to do it,
yeah.
and since y'all guys are being a little reserved about it.
Oh, no. Wait, hold up, Omar.
Yeah.
What we said was they don't have to bad. They may not want to badmouth Bush.
Yeah, we think Bush is a
Yeah. That gives us more time to badmouth.
Oh, okay, because if y'all was going to take the reserve way about it, that's fine, because I was going to say it.
No, we don't take the reserve way about anything, Omar.
No.
You know, I know that. I listen to you guys every morning. That's what I listen to.
Yeah.
I was going to say, look, this guy, the chief, a murderer, a robber, a crook, the worst, and not only that, as long as he stays in office, he is not going to be known as the commander-in-chief. I have renamed him the commander-in-chief.
Right on.
There you go, Omar.
Did he come up with that?
A little bush bashing with breakfast, folks.
Yeah, Omar and bush bashing for us. That's beautiful, man. Jerry in Long Island, what's going on?
Hey, Jerry.
Hello?
Oh, wait a minute. Is that Jerry? No. You know who that is? That's Chris. Oh, no, it's not. Now we're going to Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
What's up?
Yeah, hi. How you guys doing?
All right.
It's great to hear that bush bashing. In fact, I was a bush bashing. In fact, I was reading a book the other day called My Pet Jackass by, it's by Dick Cheney, all about his misadventures with his George W. Bush alleged president.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I like to talk about, CBS reportedly will not cover Ron Reagan Jr.'s primetime speech at the Democratic Convention on stem cell research, and the reason CBS said was because they said it's not news, but to me it is news, that here you have the son of one of the most conservative of Republican presidents in modern times,
yeah.
And he's not going to be, and because they have such a small tent, because the Republicans
right.
become such a bunch of political right-wing extremists,
right.
and they have such a small tent, so to speak,
yeah.
they've pushed Ron Reagan Jr. out of their tent and into the Democratic tent, to speak, and I think that is a news story worth
covering. Oh, yeah, we'll definitely cover it. Thanks for drawing our attention to it.
Wow, that's deep, though. CBS won't cover
yeah.
it? Is that what he said?
Well, CBS also, wasn't CBS the one who wouldn't run the Reagan movie?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what that means, but, you know, a lot of people are covering it, and just it's very interesting how the entire Reagan family, on some level, outside of the one, you know, fanatic brother, Nancy and Ron Jr., and certainly a couple of his sisters, have really detached themselves from the Republican Party in a lot of ways. I mean, I felt that right after he died, that the way that, you know, Bush was not really able to get any sort of bump or contact buzz mm-hmm. off of the dead Reagan had a lot to do with, you know, Nancy and Ron Jr. detaching from the Bush plan.
Well, you know, it's interesting. On the one hand, you know, they cut Ron Reagan. On the other hand, they get pilloried for Richard Clark.
Pilloried?
No, pilloried.
Oh, okay.
Remember that, you know, it was just the other week they were bad-mouthing, who was it, John Lehman?
Yeah.
Was bad-mouthing the fact that Viacom, which owns CBS,
yeah.
also owns Richard Clark's book publisher.
Yeah, it's horse.
Of course it is!
You
but
know.
See, they get nailed from one side, and then they go and do something to the other.
But it's sort of like it's making conspiratorial thinking too.
Of course it is.
In the same way that I'm conspiratorial, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm starting to realize. These people are just idiots. I mean, they don't think things through as much as you would think. A lot of it isn't conspiratorial. They've just, you know, the reason they've screwed everything up is they're a bungling bunch of, you know, self-fulfilling, you know, idiots.
Yeah.
All they care about is money. All they care about is sustaining their friends and sustaining themselves at the cost of democracy, of American lives, of everything else. And there's no big plan.
But, you know, there is a question, and I got to wonder, you know, because you heard about the situation with Margaret Cho,
yeah.
where they disinvited her from speaking from a Democratic event, apparently.
Wait a minute. Whoa, I didn't hear this. What happened?
Yeah, Margaret Cho was supposed to speak at an event pre-convention.
They're afraid she was going to be filthy.
I don't know whether it was filthy or maybe it was in the wake of the Whoopi Goldberg thing.
Yeah,
but you
that's
see,
gotta be what
people
it was.
Overreact in the face of all of these different things.
Thank
they, you know, something happens and all of a sudden they got to jump and really slag somebody that got no business being slagged.
Yeah, we better thank Bill Clinton. Thank
Bill,
you,
thank you so much.
I always love being here, guys.
Up next, Ohio Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs-Jones joins us live from Boston. Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and the morning's edition Monday job listing, all here on Air America Radio.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee.
Savor its aroma. Then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Former President Bill Clinton will illuminate the stage of the Democratic National Convention as the party's featured speaker this evening, reminding the party faithful and trying to convince the undecided that John Kerry and John Edwards deserve a term in the White House. Democrats will also hear from former First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton, former President Jimmy Carter, and ex-Vice President Al Gore all tonight. Former presidential candidate the Reverend Al Sharpton will also have a primetime speaking role at the convention later in the week. Even though Sharpton failed to win at least a state primary, the Rev says he's pleased to have access to John Kerry and a hand in shaping the Democratic Party platform. Democrats want to know why the Bush administration forced the resignation of the United States Archivist John Carlin without disclosing a reason. Critics are suggesting the president may have wanted a new archivist to help keep his or his father's sensitive presidential records under wraps. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Wayne Gilman.
He's been around for more than 400 million years. He'll go through 20,000 teeth in his lifetime. He can grow up to 45 feet long and weigh 30,000 pounds. And he can go 3 months without eating. But then he's going to be really, really hungry. No, it's not your brother-in-law. It's a shark, silly. It's Shark Week on Sirius Discovery Channel Radio, 135.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Rhonda inherited cemetery plots. Now she wants to sell them. I'll help her not get stiff after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Rhonda needs to sell a cemetery plot.
What I'd like to know is how could one go about selling cemetery lots 1,500 miles away?
Whoa.
If you've inherited them, you have no need or no desire to use them, and these were purchased long time ago.
I would contact four or five churches that are within a 5 or 10 mile radius, see if they have any kind of little newspaper that you could buy an ad in, and then I would also look at just traditional classified ads in the newspaper. People sell them that way. I've seen them for sale. Okay. Let's call funeral homes in the area. I'm trying to think who the customers are, but
yeah,
you know, that's
that's
not funny.
we
got to find somebody that has the need here. You know, you might try to establish the market value, and if you discounted them, somebody at a local funeral home might buy them from you, knowing they can.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Good morning. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley over there.
Hi.
That's Chris on the board.
Yo, Kalo.
Larson in the booth with Brendan. Big day. We're all here alone. We're talking because everyone else is in Boston. I guess Rachel's going to be here for Unfiltered, but Liz is up in Boston. We talked to her. She's going to call us back maybe later in the morning to tell us, you know, who's eating eggs. I guess that's why we're not up there, aside from the network seems to want to detach from us.
No, it's not that. We are security risks. You may not have known this, but we've been determined to be security risks by the Democratic Party.
Oh.
Therefore, if they heard your dream diaries, they've heard your presidential pomp house, they said, look, we're just not having those to us.
I just figure after, like, how many people could we interrupt during breakfast, you know, over 4 days? So what's going on? You just waking up? How's it going?
Yeah.
Senator Kennedy. Right now, you look a little bleary-eyed. You all right? You all right? Right now on the phone, Congresswoman from the 11th District of Ohio. She's the Platform Committee co-chair for the Democrats. We have Congressman Stephanie Jones on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning,
pretty
man.
Pretty well.
Good.
So you're speaking tonight on jobs and the economy.
Correct.
And what are the major tenets laid out this year for the Democratic platform?
With regard to jobs and the economy, we're concerned about the fact that in states like Ohio, we've lost more than 205,000 jobs since President Bush took office.
Yeah.
In the city of Cleveland alone, we've lost some 60,000 jobs. Part of the Democratic platform is our proposals to jumpstart the economy through a jobs tax credit that will encourage businesses to create new jobs now, both in the manufacturing and non-manufacturing area. President-elect Kerry and Vice President-elect Edwards would have the opportunity to propose policies that would encourage businesses to do business in the United States and not abroad.
Yeah.
In addition, there is a proposal to raise the minimum wage to $7 an hour so people who are working every day will come out of below the poverty line.
Right, have, make a little money maybe.
Yes.
So, Congressman Stephanie Jones, what is your feeling about the Chicago electorate there? Do you feel you feeling that they're coming around?
The Chicago electorate?
No, I mean the Chicago voters. The Ohio voters. I'm sorry. I don't know why I kept saying Chicago. I don't know why I got that in my head. But
But the Cleveland voters are very excited about this ticket. When John Kerry and John Edwards first came to Cleveland after the announcement of John Edwards as the vice presidential candidate, we had more than 15,000 people in a downtown area of Cleveland cheering the candidates on. We've got a workforce of people doing voter turnout. We've got people doing voter registration. People are really excited in Ohio about the possibility of a new president and vice president.
Our guest is Ohio Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones. Congresswoman, is Senator Kerry having difficulty selling his economic plan, not just in your district, but across the country? It seems as though there's widespread dissatisfaction with the job that President Bush has done on the economy, but it doesn't seem like that is benefiting the senator perhaps as much as it should.
Oh, I believe that it is benefiting the senator significantly. The Bush administration continues to talk about about a recovery, but the people who are on the ground who work every day are not feeling the recovery. The fact that this is a jobless recovery works in our favor, I believe. In addition to that, there are people who have gotten jobs, but if you've had a manufacturing job previously, to get a service worker's job, and there I don't mean service workers at all. My father was a skycap for United Airlines for more than 34 years.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it's hard to replace a deal with a budget making $7 an hour when you've been making $20,000 to $25,000 an hour. So any other jobs that have been replaced with lower paying jobs, and that is not good for not only the people, but it's not good for the cities like the city of Cleveland who use income tax to run the city. They don't have that type of money. It's not good for the school systems where property taxes are in a dilemma as a result of a number of people going into bankruptcy and foreclosure.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Jones, there seems to be a general tone, at least in terms of the published reports we've seen, that the speeches that are going to be given this week during the convention will not be aimed at bashing President Bush. Now, there's also a report that the Kerry staff has kind of vetted virtually every speech that's about to be given. Was that true of the speech that you're going to give tonight? Was there anything that they asked you to change?
The only thing they asked me to change was to cut down the number of words that I had, because the problem you have is they suggest that you can say 140 words in each minute of your presentation. So, for example, if you have 7 minutes like I have, that means I have 700. So I have like about 920 words that I can give. And in terms of substance, I was not my presentation was not changed. It was merely trying to reduce the number of words in order to meet the time limit. I was very confident and comfortable that I was able to. I will be saying what I wanted to say, not what a Kerry campaign wanted to say. Not that there is a difference necessarily in that.
Right.
Other than that, I did not have any problem putting my presentation together. Mm-hmm. And if I had, I wouldn't have been speaking.
So you feeling? Do you feel nervous at all? Are you excited?
Oh, sure. Think about it. I'm speaking to 15,000 people in the Fleet Center, and some know how, I don't know how many people. I'm a member of a sorority called Delta Sigma Theta. There are 200,000 women in my sorority, and they're all planning to tune in.
Oh, it's going to be great. Well, you sound strong today.
That's for sure. Congresswoman, real quickly, how contentious was the Iraq part of the platform? How, you're the co-chair of the platform committee.
Correct.
Was there a lot of difficulty in putting that together? Some people say it seems a little soft.
Well, you know what? Initially, we had anticipated that there would be a lot of controversy with regard to what the platform spoke to about Iraq. But I was surprised that and happy that when we came to the floor of the platform committee and we were taking, there were more than 200 amendments that were offered, but ultimately we were able, the Kerry staff worked with the people who had amendments, and a lot of those amendments were withdrawn. I know that the Democrats across this country are united in one fact, that we will defeat George Bush in November. And the unity of that fact, or the unity of that agreement has put aside a lot of people being willing to push on one issue or another. It is important that we, and the other thing you have to think about is, in the Democratic Party, there's a diversity of thought. But the one thing there's no diversity on is that we're united on electing John Kerry and John Edwards. And some people were willing to give on some things, knowing that the platform had to be a platform that brought as many people to the table as it could.
Congresswoman Ed Gillespie, who's the chair of the Republican National Committee, says that this platform does not reflect John Kerry's values at all. Your thoughts?
Oh, I disagree with him wholeheartedly. What it clearly doesn't reflect is Republican values. The Republican values don't care about the working class people in America. The Republican values don't care about people in America losing jobs. They want to send jobs overseas. The Republican values don't speak to the fact that a man like my dad, who was a skycap for United Airlines, and my mother, who was a factory worker, would go to work day in and day out and live to see their daughter be the first African-American woman congresswoman from Ohio and the first African-American woman on the Ways and Means Committee. That is significant, and that reflects what the Democratic Party can do for people.
And when it comes right down to it, when it comes down to the economy and money and jobs, you can't lie to people for too long. They're going to know.
Absolutely. You know, everything's going to come to the light, ultimately. And the Republicans can talk about our platform all they want to. And one thing that we know is, in the Democratic Party, you don't have to put faces on the TV that might reflect the United States of America. In the Republican Party, they have a hard time garnering enough people as diverse as the Democratic Party is, not only in looks but in values.
Final quick question, Congressman. It seems as though if you look at the speakers who are going to be presenting to the convention this year, that as far as the black speakers are concerned, it looks like the party's kind of turned a page. There seem to be more black speakers who have not spoken at a Democratic convention before than certainly I've seen in a long time. Do you see that as well?
Absolutely. And these are not only people that are just speaking. These are people who are actively involved in the Kerry Edwards campaign. I'm the co-chair of the Democratic National Committee. You have Gregory Meek, who out of New York has been a longtime supporter of the Kerry campaign. He's in the inside of that. You have Juanita Milliner McDonald, a congresswoman from California, actively involved in the campaign. You have Jim Clyburn, who is the vice chair of the Democratic Caucus in the Democratic Caucus of the Congress. You have Kwame Kilpatrick, the mayor of the city of Detroit, actively involved in the campaign. And so we don't have to look for people. We have people in the process that are going to speak up and tell their opinion or give their opinion about these candidates and what the Democratic Party can do to raise the level, the living level and the values of the party. So I'm excited about this ticket and excited about the convention. Can you tell?
Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones, break a leg tonight. Have a
Thank
great
you.
Speech.
Yes.
It's great talking to you.
Nice
Thank
to talk you. With you also.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye.
From Ohio. Now, I don't know. I had Chicago on the brain. I don't know what was wrong with me. I feel like an idiot. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270 if you want to talk. I knew it was Ohio, too. What am I, retarded? We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Hi there, your old pal Bill, sitting poolside and sucking down a cold one. Whoa, I just love summer. Now the Democratic Convention's coming up, so Serious Cracked Up Comedy's doing the Demo Cracked Up Convention. Get it? Demo Cracked Up? That's pretty damn funny. 3 days of the best political humor. That's right. Monday through Wednesday on Sirius Cracked Up Comedy 146. Hey, I hope no one's making fun of me.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Tray, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Well, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Let's be blunt about marijuana. Did you know, as many kids do, that blunt is street slang for a hollowed-out cigar filled with marijuana? Sometimes blunts contain marijuana mixed with cocaine, crack, PCP, methamphetamine, even embalming fluid. How's that for a reality check? Learn to have a blunt talk with your kids about drugs. Call 1-800-729-6686 for a free copy of Keeping America's Youth Drug Free.
Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Oh, yeah.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's Monday. Remember, it's Monday. We all want to forget, I know, but it's 866-303-2270 is the phone number. 866-303-2270. What do you want from the Democrats? What do you want? Tell us. Where are you at? What's going on? Call us. Right now, since the handover power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Day 28. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. All right, okay, don't get excited. We've been hearing about what Saddam's been doing in prison. Gardening, eating muffins, writing poetry against President Bush. Basically, he's turned into Maya Angelou. So you're not giving him the Abu Ghraib treatment. And frankly, we're shocked that you're showing more maturity than we ever did. A democracy is best judged by how it treats its prisoners. By giving Saddam a cushy time before you execute him, you're showing the world that Iraq is a country governed by laws and rational thought. Except for that. I know it's not true, but you should always put up a good front. Look at our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. Impressive, right? Do we live them? Exactly. Ideals are like chocolate fudge. It's nice at the beginning, but too rich to eat every day. So after a completely bogus trial and an amusing execution, you can go back to your usual brutality with a clear conscience. Okay. For the time being, you just can't afford the fudge. Good luck and God bless. This is day 28 in Iraq, birth of a nation. Live free or die. How do you like that?
Mm.
So I like what she was saying. I think that she's absolutely right, Congressman Tubbs Jones. And I think that... a lot of people are going to wake up to that.
Well, let's look at, again, some of the things that the platform is talking about in terms of jobs. They want to rescind the Bush tax cuts for those earning more than $200,000 a year, raise the minimum wage from $5.15 to $7 an hour, revoke tax breaks for companies that move jobs overseas while reducing taxes on companies creating jobs inside the U.S., reverse a Bush administration rule that places new restrictions on who can receive overtime, supporting restoring budget rules that require Congress to offset spending increases and tax cuts with higher taxes and spending cuts, and supports giving the president a constitutional line item veto that would allow him to reject provisions of congressional spending bills.
Well, that's good.
Well, see, the line item veto.
That was
now,
a lot of information in a very compact, compressed way. Bam! Right into my head. Riley's delivering the information right into my third eye. Bam!
Well, I see, because it's important, because people will say, well, I don't know what John Kerry's economic program is. I don't know how John Kerry's going to create more jobs. I don't know how John Kerry's going to handle what is obviously a jobless recovery and a stagnant economy. Well, he's got plans.
He does. And you can look at the whole platform, too, if you go to, I think, johnkerry.com.
Yeah.
You can get to the Democratic platform, and you can even print it out, and it has a cover and everything. I printed it out, and I have it all. It's like a little book, and it looks very important. It looks
Well, I mean, look, the guy has got to create a competing vision to the president. So this is what he's got to do. He's got to project it.
And we're taking your calls right after this. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
He's been around for more than 400 million years. He'll go through 20,000 teeth in his lifetime. He can grow up to 45 feet long and weigh 30,000 pounds. And he can go 3 months without eating. But then he's going to be really, really hungry. No, it's not your brother-in-law. It's a shark, silly. It's Shark Week on Sirius Discovery Channel Radio, 135.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Yes. here I am. I've got my brain back.
You got it back?
Yeah, it was embarrassing. I embarrass myself occasionally.
Don't worry about that. You know what?
But I said it twice. You know what I mean? It wasn't just once. And then I think I called her congressman.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not worrying about it. I just think that, like, she's going to be thinking when she was up there talking to 15,000 people, like, the only thing on her mind is going to be like, man, that guy in that radio show is stupid.
No, man. Don't worry.
You know, it's all about me, man. It's all about me. We know it's a tough job market out there. Many of you spent yesterday flipping through the Help Wanted ads or Monster.com. We want to be part of the solution. So here's the Morning's Edition Monday job listing. Yes. Wanted. National Intelligence Czar. Attention, job seekers. We're a major industrial nation with recent security problems. An independent commission has recommended we create a position of National Intelligence Director. Are you the person for us? The successful candidate must be able to safeguard a wealthy and morbidly obese nation from a violent and hungry world, which it constantly antagonizes with everything from condescending attitude to cluster bombs. Ideally, you will be able to accomplish this while nobody else seems to give a crap. Do you enjoy running around desperately trying to alert a slumbering bureaucracy to imminent danger while elected leaders bicker over trivialities and then blame you for the inevitable cataclysm? If so, contact us. We offer dental. This has been the Morning's Edition Monday Job Listing. Tom, how you doing, Tom? You on the road?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
What's up, Tom?
Well, what I would like from the Democratic Party is lower fuel costs. I drive a truck. Just to fill half my tank up, or my fuel supply up, cost me over $200.
Oh, man.
Woof.
North American Free Trade Agreement, I think, should be North American Fair Trade Agreement.
Yes.
It seems like we're getting the short end of the stick. When I was growing up, it was like we wanted to raise the rest of the world's standard of living to ours, to meet ours, not lower ours to meet theirs.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on.
Yeah. I think that he has vowed to, apparently, according to the platform, to enforce international trade agreements aggressively. So, and I guess that means to, you know, watch for abuse that's going.
Well, the other thing is that...
And also to pursue alternative fuels, which would lower the fuel
price. Well, yeah, and that's really the only way you're going to have any long-term decline in these fuel prices. The bottom line is, when it comes to fuel, we got to worry about OPEC, we got to worry about the oil-producing countries. When we decide to get serious, and I'm talking about now really serious, about alternatives to fossil fuels, that's when you'll see the cost of energy start to go down and stay down.
Where's a car that can run on hope? That's what I want to know.
Vegetable oil.
Where's a car that can run on my self-hatred? Boy, I could do some driving. Where's a car that'll run on bitterness? Where's that? Everyone in show business deserves one of those. Hey, Mark in New Jersey, listening to LIB. What's going on?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
I just want to say thanks for the job that you're doing. And I agree with Tom. I drive... you know, up the parkway every morning, and my gas bill is probably over $300 a month.
Wow.
And I don't think it's any coincidence that Bush is in office now and we're seeing the highest gas prices we've ever seen.
And, you know, he's got to be profiting from it, him and his cohorts.
Well, they said Exxon alone tripled their profits in, what, 2003?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable.
They're shameless. But, they're shameless. They're raping us. So I'm sure Kerry's going to mobilize some alternate fuel legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Yeah, I mean, the central question is, how come Jersey is so close between Bush and Kerry? I mean, everybody in Jersey drives. I mean, that's pretty much a given. Everybody's paying higher fuel costs. Everybody's screaming about paying higher fuel costs. What makes anybody think 4 more years of Bush will produce lower fuel costs?
It's not going to produce anything but more higher oil prices and more fear. They're going to use oil to fuel our fear. That's what they're using it for.
You're right.
I can't stand it, man. I can't stand it. Because they get on TV, they're like, be afraid. Be afraid and vote for us. It's like, look, if you're winning the war on terror, why am I paralyzed with fear? And why? Four more fears.
Four more fears. Look, Bush is, it's going to be interesting to see whether he can, in fact, run on his record when it comes time for the Republican convention, or whether he's going to run on bashing Kerry, which is, I'm kind of betting on that.
He's got nothing. They were trying to, like, you know, they almost are trying to upstage this convention with just the fear element.
Yeah.
And I blame them for that.
And there may be some moles in this convention as well, but we'll get to that later.
Of course there are.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, legendary rocker Joan Jett joins us live from Boston, Recovery Corner, and the Liberal Agenda, all here on Air America Radio. I wish that I knew all to know now. When I wish I
If you're over 35, your bones and joints aren't what they used to be, and exercising only on weekends puts them at great risk of injury. The good news is you can reduce that risk by exercising at least 30 minutes every day. Always stretch and warm up for several minutes before any exercising session, and wear appropriate shoes and safety gear. Brought to you by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. Where do you go? When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Where do you go?
Compromise off. Sirius on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Sirius. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. While the nation turns its attention to the Democratic National Convention this week, the violence continues in Iraq. The insurgents are said to be focusing on abduction as their prime weapon against the United States and its allies in the embattled nation. Over the weekend, militants claimed responsibility for the abduction of two missing Pakistanis and an Iraqi contract driver. All three have been sentenced to death, according to a statement broadcast over Arabic television. Yet another group is holding over a half dozen truck drivers whose execution deadlines have been extended. Just how long is still unknown. In another development, attackers shot and killed a senior Interior Ministry official and two of his bodyguards this morning in a drive-by shooting at the official's home. An Interior Ministry spokesman says Colonel Mossab al-Awadi, the chief of tribal affairs, was gunned down. No group has claimed responsibility this hour. Just coming in, militants in Iraq said Monday they had kidnapped two Jordanian drivers and threatened to kill them in 72 hours if their Jordanian company did not stop doing business in Iraq. Australia says it will not give in to demands of the European wing of Al-Qaeda as more kidnappings have occurred over the weekend in Iraq. Australia's Foreign Minister Alexander Downer said yesterday the government is taking a warning seriously, but it will not give in to the demands to withdraw from the coalition forces in Iraq. The terrorists have threatened to shake the ground beneath the feet of the Australians, vowing a nonstop series of attacks with columns of red cars. Downer said the group is little known to the government, but the threat is taken seriously. Downer says the threat is a reminder that the nation at all times must be prepared to deal with terrorism. Iraq's police and National Guard have killed 13 suspected militants in heavy clashes near Baghdad in one of the fiercest battles the fledgling security forces have faced since the transfer of power. The police and National Guard were attacked by rebel mortar fire and rocket-propelled grenades as they provided security to U.S. forces conducting raids near the rebellious town of Baruz, some 35 miles north of Baghdad. Fighting comes as the nation's month-long hostage crisis took another turn for the worse. Two Pakistanis working for a Kuwait-based company were feared kidnapped after disappearing, as just reported. Pakistan's Foreign Office said the two, an engineer and a driver believed to be working for Al-Tami Group, have not been seen since Friday, this as they drove to the nation's capital of Baghdad, and again within the past hour we have confirmed that they were in fact kidnapped. Politics, parties, and protests. A lot of activity is on tap today in Boston as the Democratic National Convention kicks off at the Fleet Center. Speeches start tonight with former President Bill Clinton getting the primetime slot. Security for the event is extremely tight. 7-foot-high line of barriers has been erected around Boston's Fleet Center. Lots of police officers, some dressed in riot gear, will be keeping an eye on the convention delegates and demonstrators. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Okay.
And
I'm Tony Hawk. And I've got a
new show called
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk's Demolition Radio.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can hear
it's
it.
It's going to be on action.
Serious 28.
It's skateboarding. It's music. It's action. It's funny. It's not boring.
Tony Hawk's Demolition Radio.
We're live every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Exclusively
on Sirius.
Faction
28. I'll be talking through your satellite radio.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Lori is a military wife and wants to know if they should buy a home. My advice next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Lori's husband is in the military, so they move often. She emails wanting to know if they should buy a home. We know that for the next 10 or so years, we will move about once every 2 years. Should we wait to buy a home until his military retirement? Yes, is a good answer. And here's why. Very few areas of the country go up enough in value on real estate to where you don't lose money by staying in the home only 2 years. In other words, if you own it 2 years, it doesn't go up enough to keep you from losing money by the time you buy and sell. Plus, the economy may be slow at the particular time you're trying to sell. Interest rates may be a little up. It makes it hard to sell. Then you may end up with a rental property long distance, which is not a plan. And so there's always lots of homes on the market around military bases, which keeps it from appreciating as much as it might in some other areas. I'm all about owning real estate, but I'm not all about it owning you, and this is a good way for it to end up owning you.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help motivate. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with you.
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Okay, it's Monday, and we're doing all right. We just got our second cup of coffee. I made some brownies last night. We brought them in, and they're almost gone. We're eating the brownies. I'm on a brownie.
Heavenly.
You know what I did, man, is we're going to take your calls, too, at the top of the hour, which is an unusual thing for us, but we feel like it because there's people hanging on. 866-303-2270. We're covering the Democratic National Convention from New York, which is weird because most people who are covering it are in Boston. So, as I said earlier, there's not much going on here. Traffic is running fine. There have been no celebrity sightings or political people speaking anywhere. There's no one scheduled to speak in New York, so it's going to be pretty easy for us to cover this from here.
No platform fights, no demonstrations, no protests.
Exactly. The rest of the people from our network are going to be calling us here and there with reports about the fun we're missing, as Liz did.
Yeah.
She called it a pig fest, and it wasn't clear to me whether that was a good thing or a bad thing. Also, where was I just going? Talking about brownies. Oh, yeah, I bought a food processor. I'm all set up out there. So when I get on a food quest, you guys are going to pay for it. We're all going to get fat here. You know.
I understand.
I need to perfect things. I'm in the middle of a brownie perfection quest and a Baba Ganoush perfection quest. They don't go together, but those are the two projects I'm working on.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Maron does not use brownie mix. So those of you who think that he just goes to the supermarket and throws some Duncan Hines in the cart and brings it home, no. He starts from scratch.
I'll tell you, the stuff I do when I don't have my wife around, just like, you know, cooking compulsively and the other stuff.
Wait a minute. Let's not talk about the other stuff. We can go to jail here.
No, I'll cook for her even when she's around, but she can't eat brownies because she's got a flour issue. But that's between her and I. Let's take a call. Hi, Ed. How are you? Nice to talk to you. What's going on?
Hey, Ed.
Hey there. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you do. I tell you what, this is the greatest thing I've ever listened to. You know?
That's great to hear, man. Where are you at?
I'm over here in California, just south of the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a truck driver. You had that other driver calling earlier.
Yeah.
Talking, complaining about fuel prices.
Yeah.
Really, what we need to see is the wages go up, you know?
Yeah, there has to be a lift in the wages. And he says in the platform that they're going to raise it up into the $7 area, which maybe would, you know, enable people to get a little savings, which would be great. Thanks for calling, Ed. Really appreciate it.
On the road in South San Francisco.
I love talking to truck drivers. I don't know why.
Yeah, me too. I enjoy because you know those guys. First of all, you ride up with them on the highway all the time. I went to Pennsylvania this past week, and I don't know how many truckers I ran across.
You get that weird bonding. You know, yeah. You're sitting there thinking that you haven't been on the road for a long time, and you're like, hey, that's that truck. He's my friend.
Yeah.
And they're probably looking at you going, oh, man, there's that Honda.
Yep.
What does he want? Does he think we're friends?
As long as they don't blow us off the road in their, you know, in their backdraft.
I like the idea of people driving.
Yeah.
I think I have some sort of, like, you know, fantasy of being a truck driver.
Really?
I'm always amazed at these guys that drive. Like, I got on the bus. You ever seen bus guys take turns?
Yeah.
And, like, literally, I'm sitting on the bus going, no, he's going to, oh, my God, how did he do that? And they just know how to drive. They don't even think twice about driving these huge cars. Like, when I had a U-Haul going across country, I can't even tell you the amount of times I almost freaked out. And I also ran it into something, too. Trying to
really?
Make a turn. Yeah, I didn't cut the turn right. But yeah, I'm not a truck driver. Hey, Joel in Miami, listening to WINZ. How are you?
Yeah. Hey, Joel.
Yeah, hey, who am I talking to, Mark?
You're talking to both Marks.
Both Marks.
You're both named Mark?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
New in town, huh?
Huh? Look it. Huh?
You're new to the station?
You're going on my head. Look, here's what I like. They got Democratic Party going on.
Yeah.
Here? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let them have another 9/11 commission, okay? Because this one has got all conflicted of interest. You got airline executives, you got oil connected families, you got the Bin Laden in-laws, Kane guy. Come on.
You're absolutely right.
Huh?
You're absolutely right.
You know, we want some people that make it share that the Daniel Ellsberg, okay? Because he's with the 9/11 truth movement, okay? And
Ed
Asner and all the other people involved that have been doing some of the research, okay?
Absolutely.
Let's ask some questions about how you can have an 18 or 19 foot hole in the Pentagon supposedly caused by a 757. Let's ask some questions like how Bush is taking off with no escort after the attacks in Florida.
Yeah.
Without any jet.
Exactly.
Or why he subjected all those kids in the school building to a half an hour of them all killed, you know?
Yeah.
Or,
I understand.
You know,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, huh? You're right. You're absolutely right. And
what happened to Building 7? You know?
Hey, and also, you know where you ought to go?
Anything hitting it. You know,
you're doing the big work down there.
That's happened in the history of the world.
You're definitely doing the big work down there. Thank you, Joel. Thanks a lot, buddy. Joel is
wow, he's got a snootful over there.
I don't even think he was halfway down his list.
No.
he literally called. He's like, all right, we got some things we're going to take care of. And I'm going to take care of him right now. I'm not going to listen to you at all. It's like, we're both named Mark. What? It's over my head here. I appreciate his call. And I think what he's saying is what we were sort of addressing is that because of the bipartisan nature and the conflict of interest, both politically and personally, that some of these guys had, you had a very watered down, not very thorough. I imagine the investigation itself, you know, the commission obviously investigated and got a lot of information, and it's all there. But how they parsed it and what they decided to do with it was a little watered down, you know.
Well, what was on page 10 and what was on page 598?
I want to tell that guy, though. Joel, go to cooperativeresearch.org and look at that timeline, that 9/11 timeline. A guy like you, it will blow your mind, all right? Because you're doing the big work, you know, speculating about the size of holes, you know, versus, you know, the size of aircrafts, which is, you know, those kind of questions are completely unresolvable, and you can go anywhere you want with that stuff. But the truth of the matter is, I agree with you. I think the 9/11 Commission was soft. And I think that it left it open to a lot of spin and not a lot of efficient research to really, you know, sink our teeth into.
Good point. You know, it'd be interesting. My guess is that the Democrats will not bring up the 9/11 panel during the course of this convention. Now, I could be wrong, but again, if they're not Bush bashing, why would they?
Well, I think that you don't think that they're going to bring up the, you know, initiating some of the stuff that those guys talked about initiating? I mean, Bush is starting to talk about
it. Oh, they'll talk about initiating. They'll talk about trying to make change and trying to make reform and all of that. But they are not going to get to the central question, and that is whether or not Bush had any information, which we know he did, that might well have prevented.
Bin Laden plans to attack United States.
August 6, 2001.
Unbelievable. All right, let's go to Armando. Armando, that's a good name, Armando. How you doing?
What's up, Armando?
Good morning.
How you feel?
I have two quick points about Bush and the jobs program. When Bush was meandering with the kids and the Twin Towers are being kamikaze. Wouldn't the last place you want the president to be is in the air until the airspace was clean?
Right.
And then number two, Kerry's job program is kind of lame because he still has to compete with corporations that have loopholes that, you know, prevent paying taxes, wages, environmental laws, benefits.
Yeah.
The only way to overturn that is to get control of Congress and overturn the legislation that allows these loopholes.
Well, one of the things he plans on doing is he revoke the tax breaks for companies that move jobs overseas. And while reducing taxes on companies creating jobs in the United States.
Mm.
So he's got some plans, you know, in that area.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of not giving corporations as much of a break as they're used to getting.
Mark, you know, one thing we didn't touch on yet, or we haven't touched on yet this morning, that happened on Friday. Bush went and spoke to the National Urban League Convention, as we talked about last week.
Right.
And asked black people specifically to reconsider their commitment to the Democratic Party, which was, you know, 92% in 2000.
He begged them, Mark.
Yeah.
He begged him. He basically broke down. Did you see that footage? He broke down and said, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I want your votes.
Yeah.
And, you know, without giving him anything other than that.
Well, he didn't say, I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't really done a whole hell of a lot to get your vote.
And like three people. He could hear this.
Yeah.
There were three, the sounds of
And them. I know all three of them. Armstrong, Williams, Shelby Steele, and Judge Clarence Thomas.
All right, we'll be back after this on Air America Radio.
There's a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we're a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system, originally available only for use by therapists, is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a casual dating site. It does not use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It is a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients. We ask the questions that truly determine who is the best match for you. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you're tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's Theradate.com. For a limited time, it's free to join our totally unique service.
Hi there, the old pal Bill, sitting poolside and sucking down a cold one. Whoa, I just love summer. Now the Democratic Convention's coming up, so Sirius Cracked Up Comedy's doing the Demo Cracked Up Convention. Get it? Demo Cracked Up? That's pretty damn funny. 3 days of the best political humor. That's right, Monday through Wednesday on Sirius Cracked Up Comedy 146. Hey, I hope no one's making fun of me.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Tramike asked the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Do you like riding your bike? Well, how about skateboarding, inline skating, or playing sports? Well, I like them all. But what I don't like is getting hurt. That means I can't do the things I like. So if you're out doing the things you like, make sure to wear a helmet and pads, or whatever else you need to keep you from getting hurt. Play it safe, because if you don't, you might not be able to play at all.
Okay, I'm in. I'm in the blog. I'm in it, all right? morningsedition.com. I'm there. I'm with you guys now. I avoided you for the first couple hours. You know why? Because if I don't, then I start addressing you guys like I'm talking to you, and everyone else in the country, the millions and millions of people that listen to us, feel left out of the loop. Mark Riley, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm in the loop.
Good. This is Morning Sedition. It's Air America Radio. I just, a couple hours ago, got the presidential palm pilot. I have the president's schedule right here. I'm going to read that. And then I'm going to address this framing issue because, you know, all right, you know, just listen to this first. 9 o'clock a.m. Here's what George Bush is doing today. 9 o'clock a.m. Wake up in Crawford to singing Big Mouth Billy Bass. Oh, it's good to be home. 11 a.m. Democratic convention starts tonight. Initiate Operation Poison the Chowder. 11:30 a.m. As a diversion, have Ashcroft raise terror alert color chart to baboon ass red. You eat one of those brownies, Mark. Eat some brownies.
Say it.
Yeah. 12 noon. Put on real-life cowboy clothes. Go outside and clear some brush. Ah, it's so peaceful here. Just the earth and the sky and 24 Secret Service agents with sniper rifles and taser guns. Sniper rifles, if you will. 1 p.m. Eat lunch. That's more in touch with American values than Kerry's lunch. 2 p.m. Call Lance Armstrong. Congratulate him on winning the Tour de France. No matter how strong the urge, don't mention what happened to his thingy. Or wouldn't it be thingies? 8 p.m. Watch Clinton speak. Damn, he's good. Go to back porch and shoot off pistol until I feel better. 8:10 p.m. Apologize to Secret Service agents for shooting pistol. Find a new way to blow off steam. A new tax cut. Yeah, that'd be good. 9 p.m. Bedtime. Listen to singing Jackalope. Think happy thought headline. Quote, thousands of Democrats sickened by poison chowder. You know, the bloggers are talking about George Lakoff, who we had on the show like 3 months ago, because I'm a huge fan of his. I actually, before I took this job in radio, I'd read some stuff by Lakoff about reframing, about, you know, dressing the way the right has hijacked the cultural language for the last 30 years in a very, you know, deliberate and organized fashion, setting up think tanks, starting to demonize words, starting to frame issues, you know, that always will slant towards the right in their language and demonizing the opposition. And this happened as a reaction to the revolution of the 60s, that they never again wanted there to be an anti-capitalistic dialogue in this country. They never wanted there to be another anti-war dialogue in this country that would be have any effect, because they wanted to, you know, to sort of commandeer the cultural dialogue so it would never happen again. And it's interesting that this president, President Kerry, is
this upcoming president, President Kerry,
he has been in the radar of these guys since they initiated some of these plans to reframe the language. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to think, when he was in Veterans Against the War, you know, that he was on President Nixon's radar. And Nixon was around where it started, where they said, you know, we can never have this again. There cannot be this use of the freedom of speech, and it cannot ever again have the effect that it has now. So we will do everything we can to reframe this language so it makes it almost impossible. And a lot of the bloggers are talking about that. And I hope we can get him back on again. The only problem is he's in Berkeley.
Yeah, he's out in California. Last time we had him on, I think he was in New York for a specific event. But, you know, it's interesting. Apparently, there are a group of Democrats who are trying to do more or less the same kind of thing.
I read about that in the New York Times magazine. There was a piece, that guy's using a personal fortune that he amassed during the high-tech revolution or whatever, and they're putting it into some think tanks that are going to be. It's not a Democratic organization, though.
No, they're trying to operate outside the Democratic Party.
Yeah, they're trying to give the language some teeth, the language of the left some teeth that will function as a war, you know, against the language of the right. Because that's what Chomsky's all about, too, is the language. Is that, you know, you can't define morality without language. And if you use language properly, you can steal the brains of everybody.
Is that teeth spelled G-O-N-A-D-S?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about the framing is that it's used to, you know, plant seeds in people's heads.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, the conservatives started this with the defeat of Barry Goldwater. And this is an interesting thing that people need to realize. They started this when Barry Goldwater got his head handed to him after the 1964 presidential race. When Lyndon Johnson creamed him. And the conservatives said, look, you know, he was our standard bearer. He was the best we had. If he gets beat like this, we've got to do something to refocus our agenda, to refit our agenda and make it something that is more palatable to the American public. And, of course, from 1964 to 1980,
yeah.
they worked on that.
Right.
And in 1980, they elected one of their own, Ronald Reagan. Now, Ronald Reagan, quiet as is kept, did not hew completely to conservative ideology or conservative policy.
Right.
Government grew under Ronald Reagan, quiet right. as is kept.
Yeah.
The deficit grew under Ronald Reagan, yes. quiet as is kept.
Yes.
A lot of these very fundamental things that conservatives were trying to accomplish were not accomplished under Ronald Reagan. But what did happen during that 1980s period was the development of conservative talk radio as a force in the political discussion, in the political arena.
Organized force.
Yeah.
And then they used all, they all distributed the same talking points. I don't get talking points, do you?
No.
You can go to the Center for Progressive,
The Center for American
Progress.
There's a number of different organizations.
I go to Center for American Progress because that place blows my mind. And they'll give you the line. But it seems like the thing I have always thought is that with conservative talk radio and with conservative talking points, when you're coming from a narrow-minded place and the specifics are very, you know, the context is very shallow and very narrow, you know, it's a lot easier to be specific. It's a lot easier to talk with teeth, you know, whereas if you're liberal democratic and you're, you know, encompassing a lot of different thoughts, you're trying to, you know, have a dialogue and not just talk at somebody, you know, it becomes a little more difficult to be specific.
Oh, yeah. And see, one of the things that, one of the byproducts that's come out of the Democrats trying to refocus itself. Now, some people say they need to go more centrist. There are others in the Democratic Party who say, well, the party's abandoning its base, abandoning its roots. There are some people who, in their heart of hearts, want to see this ticket lose this year. Because they want to start with a clean slate in 08. And I'm talking about now Democrats who want to see the agenda of the party move leftward.
But you know what? That is so selfish and stupid.
Of
because
course.
The truth of the matter is that, like, if this guy gets another 4 years, I don't even know what the nature of democracy is going to look like. That's making a tremendous assumption, and I don't think it's really assessing the threat of this administration appropriately.
I agree with you 100%.
I mean, because I think these guys are willing to do anything to hold on to power. There's no indication that they won't. You know, I mean, they want to, you know, to end the democratic dialogue.
Yeah.
So I think that I appreciate what they're saying, the fresh start, the, you know, the Nader people and everything. All those ideas are great. We should integrate them into the broader democratic theme. But, man, we've got to get this guy out of office.
It's a short-sighted. See, in politics, the bottom line is whether you win. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there are any number of jokes that were made about Harold Stassen because the guy ran so many times and lost. Ultimately, in politics, you are either a winner or a loser. And in this case, I think a lot of Americans have decided that this single election is too important to toy or dally with the kind of things that Democrats have traditionally fought about in the past. Whether the party's too far left or too far center, or whether they took this position or that position or the other position, the bottom line here is we know the position of the incumbent.
Yeah.
We know what his agenda is. We know what he's got planned for the next 4 years. Should he get back in office?
And I think that what he's got planned is a theocratic movement that will stifle the progressive dialogue completely. I think that if these guys are left to their own devices, and they sort of fly, unfortunately, outside of like secrecy, they kind of fly by the seat of their pants and just do whatever they can do to service themselves. But he's pandering to a type of religious fanaticism that is extremely dangerous. He's empowering them. They are infiltrating the school boards. They are starting to redefine the cultural language on top of the language of the right, which are some people are just, you know, regular freaky conservatives.
Yeah.
But once the language becomes religious and that starts to sink in, they want to stop progressive dialogue altogether. So we can start fresh in 2008, but let's get Kerry in now and then make some decisions, you know, about that later, because it's essential that, you know, we start with Kerry.
And remember that a lot of these folks are going into government agencies where they are going to be very, very difficult to dislodge. You know, a theocratic bureaucrat is indeed a scary idea for me.
Considering that the CEO at this point in time of this country is one.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got these different, what is that, John Hancock College and all these places, who are feeding people directly into the political process, feeding people directly into internships and these sorts of things within government agencies. And that is how you grow a bureaucracy that will always do what you want it to do, will always function and operate in a way that conservatives are most comfortable with. And if we're not careful, it just like with the judgeships, the appointment of judges, all of these people are going to get in, and then suddenly you're going to wonder, like, why are they making these crazy rulings?
And they're going to push the right out. That's what's going to happen. They're going to open a Pandora's box and make it so they get pushed out by religious extremism. It's bad. Why aren't they talking about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. Oh, my God.
I love that voice, I swear to God. Coming up, Joan Jett in Boston for the Democratic National Convention. We'll talk to her next. Plus, the liberal agenda here on Air America Radio.
Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
When I get one of my headaches, every minute of that pounding, throbbing pain is a minute too long. So when I take something, I want to make sure I choose the one that will get rid of that tough pain faster.
The moment of choice. Tylenol or Advil for faster headache relief. Truth is, Advil Liquid Gels rush relief to your headache faster than Tylenol. And Advil Relief is stronger, better relief, too.
Headache's gone already. Glad I chose Advil.
For faster headache relief, advance to Advil Relief.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilders.
I'll take the Mayhem in the AM breakfast special. What do I get with that? No. The Mayhem in the AM. The Great Morning Show, it's... What the... No, the one with Steak Shapiro, Mike Bell, and Nick Cellini. No, it's Guy Talk. Morning Sports with an Edge. Oh, my God, come on!
Mayhem in the AM. Sports talk anyone can understand. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Ron wonders if he should sell his car to help with a down payment for a home. My advice next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Ron sell his car to help with his house down payment?
Crushing deals with my wife and I considering purchasing a home. We could sell a vehicle we own to come up with a bigger down payment.
Is it an extra vehicle?
Yes, it is extra.
Okay, why do you have it?
Want and desire, I don't know. We just
What is it?
It's a 03 GMC minivan.
And your household income's what?
33.
All right, and the 03 is paid for?
Yes.
And it's worth what?
22.5.
Regardless of what you do with the money, I would sell it. I am positive it's very difficult to build wealth when you have over half your annual income tied up in things that are going down in value like a rock. So that's a bad use of your income. I'm not against you having a nice car. I'm against a nice car having you. And in this case, you're talking about, should I use that for a down payment on a house? Absolutely, because the house is going to go up.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of OPEN, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
My family values prevent me from respecting a vice president that uses the F word on the floor of the Senate or a president that flips off teenagers.
866-303-AAR0.
They talk all the time about family value. Yet, by Bush decree, if I don't have a mother, a father, or children in Cuba, I cannot visit. Mr. Bush redefined the family.
We're listening.
We'll be right back.
Joan Jett. Poor Joan Jett. Mark Maron here.
Is hey.
Riley there? There's
yes,
Riley.
I'm here.
This is pretty exciting. I remember rocking out to Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. I guess you still can rock out.
Yes, you can.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. They got a new album out. It's called Naked. It will be out this fall. She is on the phone with us right now. She's become very political. Big Dean supporter and a delegate, New York delegate for Dean, actually, at the time. How are you, Joan?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
All right. How you doing?
I just want to let you know I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of both of you. I listen every morning that I can.
Oh.
And I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you.
That's it. Well, I appreciate that. So Howard Dean was kind of a rock star, wasn't he?
Oh, it was an amazing experience, I'll tell you, because this is my first time really being involved anything beyond just being a citizen and going out and doing my voting bit.
Yeah.
But I got into this like a couple years ago, right when all the candidates started to, you know, discuss their positions, and I was very impressed with him and wanted to go out and be involved. But
so how do you feel about John?
I think that he is going to make a great president.
He is, right?
Yes, definitely.
And how do you think that they compare in a way? I mean, they're definitely different styles. He's not. I don't think he's as much of a punk rock guy as Howard Dean.
No, I'll tell you. I think that there's not a lot of daylight between the position on the issues.
Yeah.
And I think it was really more down to delivery style and just what resonated with me at the time.
How do you feel about their different positions on the war in Iraq?
Well, you know, I was never for this war specifically. Mm-hmm. I thought we should have put our troops into Afghanistan and focused where we should have been focusing.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, we keep discussing the semantics of John Kerry voting for the war, and we all know, as we discussed over and over again, he didn't vote for the war. He voted for the president to be able to use that, that sort of hammer
if he needed to. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But obviously, to take diplomacy to its very ends.
Right, and a lot of those guys were sort of duped by the president, anyways.
I think it's pretty obvious if you're an intelligent person and you think about these things. We all, even though we're all very emotionally, whatever side you're on, very emotionally connected to the issues.
Sure.
I think for the most part, a lot of us are patriots, and we really do want what's best for the country. And so, you know, for my own part, I'm going to go up to Boston today, but I really want to try to stay away from, devolving into sort of a schoolyard fight.
Yeah, yeah. So you go over to Iraq and you perform for the guys, huh?
Well, I've not been to Iraq. I've been to Afghanistan, Uzbekistan. I've been to Afghanistan twice, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And Pakistan and a few places like that.
You take the whole band?
We have done, but when I first went, we went right after 9/11, maybe 2 months after, because that was as soon as we could get in, and they wouldn't let the whole group in. If we wanted to go someplace where we could actually see the troops and get to where they needed the morale boost, we couldn't bring the band. They wanted to keep the footprints light, as they say, so we could get downrange. And we were actually very close to some action, and it was just myself and my songwriting partner, Kenny Laguna, and we just went and sort of did like an electronic or an electric guitar Simon Garfunkel thing with no drums, just did all our hits and just had the troops kind of clap and be the drums and be the background vocals, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I still see a lot of guys around all over the country while we're touring now that come up and say, hey, man, I was with you guys in Kandahar.
Yeah.
So it's really a trip to hear that.
It is, I bet.
Joan Jett, we're hearing that a lot of the delegates at the Democratic National Convention have a fundamental concern about the economy. We're getting a lot of calls here so far this morning, certainly, from people whose primary concern is about the economy. Do you think that John Kerry has been able to get his economic message across? And if not, what does he need to do?
That's a good question. I think sometimes people's attention is sort of split between a lot of various issues, especially with the war being, you know, so much bad news being in the press.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that during this convention we can finally focus on the platform and what John Kerry's administration is going to be able to do for people, irregular working folks, you know, like you and I, you know what I mean? And it's the deficit that we're dealing with is just astounding, and we've got to deal with that. And the Republicans talk about these tax cuts, and as far as I can see, there wasn't really a tax cut, because in my case and a lot of the people I know's cases, their property taxes went up, you know, sales taxes and state taxes, all sorts of things went up, and people are paying more out of pocket. Education, you know, everything is skyrocketing. So I'm hoping that everybody will just be focused on his message, and he can get it out to us these next few days.
So how's the new record coming along?
It's going great.
Is it done?
Pretty much finished, and we're just trying to get it out now. And
do any covers?
On this one, maybe one or two.
Oh, yeah?
It's mostly original, though.
Oh, right on. Well, thanks for talking to us, Joan.
Thanks for having me.
You take care.
Talking politics with Joan Jett. Give us a call, 866-303-2270, and we'll talk to you about politics. 866-303-2270. Come back to Air America. Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, and now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal.
My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Conservation International applies innovations in science, economics, policy, and community participation to protect the Earth's richest natural regions. Their objective is to conserve plant and animal diversity in major tropical wilderness areas and key marine ecosystems. With headquarters in Washington, D.C., CI works in more than 30 countries on 4 continents. For more information about CI's programs, please visit www.conservation.org.
Yeah, that's a little bit of television. I'm Mark Maron. This is Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Yeah,
that's what it is. There's the answer to that question. Air America Radio? Air America Radio. Right now, let's say I'm Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark!
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I offer my counsel to my sponsor, George W. Okay, look, buddy, I read that your administration is going to court to block lawsuits by people that have been hurt by prescription drugs. I mean, whose team are you on, buddy? Are you on the side of people just like you who have been messed up on drugs, or are you on the side of the pusher who's getting rich on your habits? You may not be using anymore, but the suppliers have still got you in here, man. And I'm pointing to my head, brother. How many more corporate contributions do you need, George? When will enough be enough? Remember, those guys at Pfizer don't really love you. Okay? People, places, and things, my friend. If you need help, try calling up your real friend. Try calling up your sponsor. Try tapping into Mr. Self-Respect and his partner, Mr. Self-Reliance, with a little help from the higher power. Do you know what I'm saying? Remember, buddy, keep the plug in the jug, bend your knees before you bend your elbow. Sorrow is looking back. Worry is looking forward. If you got one foot in yesterday and the other foot in tomorrow, you're pee-pee-peeing on today. Get to a meeting and don't drink. 866-303-2270 is our phone number. It looks like we've got Daniel in Manhattan. How are you, sir?
Hello, I'm fine.
Great.
So, actually, I was you were talking about the use of language.
Yes.
And how the right has co-opted some of the liberal language and used it against us.
Yeah.
So what I was thinking of doing the opposite, and you were discussing that, so I was thinking of a term, neocon,
mm-hmm.
and using it as a verb against them. Like, for example,
okay.
you can say...
Stop trying to neocon me.
Yes. The conservative... brand, the conservative side are neoconning us into believing that Bush is not a liar.
I like that one. I like that one.
Yeah.
How about the Supreme Court has neoconned us into President Bush?
That's good. That's good.
And so forth and so on.
And then, right. Yeah, I like it. I like it. I think we might integrate that. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
We're being neoconned.
Especially that con part.
Yeah, I like it, man. I think that's kind of catchy.
Nice thanks work, Daniel.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call, man. Diana, Manhattan, how are you?
Hi, Diane.
Hi, good morning. First of all, I want to congratulate Air America, all you guys. I think it's a fabulous show. I love it. And it's amazing how many people have never even heard of you, don't even know you exist, or they've heard of you vaguely, but they don't know how to find you. So
here's what I get, Diane. Here's what I get. I go, I'll do the morning show on Air America. They're like, what's that? And I go, yeah, Air America Radio. Oh, the Al Franken Network?
Yeah, that's it.
But anyway, I every week I turn a whole lot of new folks on to you, and they love it, too. But,
oh, good.
So now I'm going to give you a friendly critique,
mm-hmm.
okay, having established that.
Now that I've blown a little smoke, I'm gonna take it away.
There we go.
No, I want you guys to even be better.
Okay. Well, I can take it. What do you got?
Okay, so it's also a comment on language
mm-hmm.
and political use of language
mm-hmm.
and so on. And it has to do, and I know that you've gotten some feedback on this already, but my remark is a little different. It's on the use of phrases like the crazy Christians.
Yes.
And things like that. Now, I want to... I do come from a Christian background,
mm-hmm.
and I personally know evangelicals who are progressive and not right-wing and awful and fundamentalist and all that stuff. So when I hear words like that, I think it rankles as much as it would. Imagine Mark and Mark. I presume that perhaps maybe one of you would be Jewish, at least Al Franken is. Imagine.
At least Al Franken is. Uh-oh. Where is this conversation going?
Imagine.
I'm a Jew.
You started, okay. I don't know. You see, you guys have good cover, because I don't know which one is Mark who and which one is Mark.
Riley is not Jewish.
I'm not Jewish. I'm black.
Okay, great. Anyway. That's a religion, too. No, just kidding.
Thank you.
Listen, but what if you started on a regular basis, started talking about the crazy Jews, the crazy
yeah.
Jews? How long do you think you guys would last on the air?
Well, you know, we've addressed this question before. You know.
Yeah, actually, Diane, let me...
We've addressed it
yeah,
before.
Yeah, let me say this. Mark has done that.
Yeah.
Marin has actually said, you know, crazy Jews, you know, I take her point about, you know,
well,
the use
the
of
dialogue.
Language.
The dialogue is that, you know, I try to be specific about the Christians I'm talking about now, because I don't want to deny people their belief systems, even though I don't have one in place that's, you know, in any way organized. Now, what I'm saying is I understand what she's saying. There's plenty of Christians out there that aren't of the extreme fanatical type, that aren't necessarily dominion Christians who are completely pro this neocon agenda. I understand that. But usually when I refer to the crazy Christians, I'm referring to specifically those ones that I find to be crazy and delusional and fairly non-Christian in their desire to take over this country and deny us our freedoms by, you know, destroying the church-state
Separation.
Exactly. So, I mean, I've established sort of that on this show, and a lot of our Christian listeners know that that's what I'm talking about now, because I definitely took a lot of flack for this initially in characterizing Christianity as being, you know, all one thing. Now I know that it's many things, and none of those things are anything that, you know, I believe in on a religious level, but certainly there's a lot of Christian principles that are pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of these crazy Christians that I'm talking about do not honor Christian principles in their alliance with this particular administration.
And they have no tolerance for Christianity other than what they construct it to be.
But I appreciate that call. I definitely appreciate that call, and I understand what you're saying. So you want to take another call?
Sure.
Greg, North Carolina, right on.
Hey, Greg.
How are you?
Hey there, Mark. Mark, how you doing?
All right, good. How you feel?
Mark, in your conversation with Joan Jett, you said that the senators who voted for the war, and I guess you're including Kerry, were duped into it by Bush. So what I'm wondering is, how does the idiot, man-child, drunk liar fool John Kerry? And when Kerry becomes president, are we going to have to hope that the North Koreans and Iranians aren't smarter than Bush?
I understand what you're saying. That's a good question. I mean, obviously, a lot of people were against the war. You know, many liberals too. There was sort of a schism in the liberal community about, you know, who was pro. You know, a lot of liberals were for the war in Afghanistan because it was directly addressing
a specific problem.
Yeah, which was terrorists and the training grounds.
In fact, the training grounds for Al Qaeda, in fact, were in Afghanistan.
And there's, of course, the Saudi problem, which will never be addressed. But I think that, you know, some people accuse people who say that they were duped by the president as them taking the easy way out. They should have known better. But, I mean, they were told by the president of the United States that that Iraq was a direct threat. That was before anyone really knew that they were bullying the intelligence community to give them what they needed. Although a lot of people before we went into Iraq were saying that, you know, it's not a threat. You know, the sanctions are working and a lot of other stuff. But
you know what, though, Mark? People, I think, at the time the vote was taken, there was a different mindset about whether or not we were going to, in fact, go to war. It wasn't like we agree to this, and next thing you know, he's sending troops.
Well, you know,
it wasn't quite that simple.
I guess I am kind of giving Kerry a pass. I mean, in a certain way, in terms of that. In terms of, you know, like, because the intelligence was bad, and there was a certain momentum to do it, that, you know, and he was part of that, I'm willing to give him that pass in the sense that, you know, they were misled by their president. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio. Yeah.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Vendi with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
A vacation village near Orlando that is unlike any resort in the world. It's for special kids with life-threatening illnesses. It's called Give Kids the World Village, and it provides a week of fun and relaxation for kids and their families. A week of simple pleasures that would make any child smile. Swimming pools, visits to local Orlando theme parks, and unlimited ice cream. A week to live in the moment and to make memories that will last a lifetime.
all for free, for their families, too. To find out how you can bring joy into the life of a very sick child, call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org. And please, help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
What was your name again? Barry?
Johnson.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
Truly one of the greatest guitar riffs. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. This morning's edition. We're coming in for landing here. I just want to say that, you know, initially, you know, with the Iraq situation, there was hope that they would find the weapons, that Saddam would turn the weapons over.
Yes.
There was hope that, you know, it could be handled like that.
Well, a lot of people really thought that Saddam was going to turn over the weapons. Hans Blix, who we talked to about this, said that as far as he was concerned, either there weren't that many weapons to be turned over, or that Saddam would, in fact, remember, he had allowed the weapons inspectors unfettered access. So, you know, the idea that folks voted to authorize the war doesn't necessarily mean that everybody thought it was going to happen as soon as the authorization came through.
Right. Oh, look at that. Look who's on the phone. It's William. It's William. William, I guess. Where are you, William? Are you up in Boston?
I'm in Boston. That's right.
Oh, well, it's great. Thanks for calling. What's going on out there? Having a good time?
It's amazing. I'm just overwhelmed to be among so much history and so many good Democrats.
Oh, wait. There's Bill.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
What's up there, Bill?
Oh, it's always good to be in a town where there's thousands of college girls just discovering their sexuality. The Freedom Trail starts right here, baby.
So is your speech ready? Is that a dumb question?
Yeah, no, pretty much it's almost done. I'm still working on the opening.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and how's that coming? What's it going to be?
I don't know yet. I'm still working on it. You know, Mark, my speech usually starts out something like this. Sweetheart, how'd you like to make history? Pretty sure we don't need new words other than maybe slower, darling. You got a train to catch or something? Come on.
I don't want to be a buzzkill, though, but isn't Hillary going to introduce you? Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah, she is. She is. And it's a real honor for me.
Uh-huh.
Hillary's going to introduce you, William. Me, I got more parties to go to than Rick James. In fact, I'm going to a party with Rick James. Bitch. Oh, my God. It's going to get super freaky up in here. I promise you that. Oh, God.
Well, thanks, man. Can we call you? Are you guys going to call tomorrow or what?
Yeah, sure thing. Mark, I'll call you as soon as I wake up.
Fantastic.
Man, I'm not sure where I'm going to wake up. You could be in a dorm room at Harvard. You could be in Tangiers. You know, I live in the moment, baby. But if I'm around, I'll give you all a shout-out.
All right.
Thank you, President Clinton.
All right.
Y'all take care now.
Oh, man. So covering the convention from New York.
Yes.
It's turning out to be quite entertaining.
Well, actually, Rachel is coming up after us, and she's going to be covering the convention from New York.
I'm sure she'll be talking to the people.
She's got an advantage, though, because Liz and Chuck are in Boston.
We got Robert Reich tomorrow.
Yes.
Now, that's going to be good. And columnist and best-selling author Gail Sheehy.
And
Sheehy,
yeah.
She'll be here. So we're going to keep abreast of the situation.
And we know who's speaking. We've got people speaking today that include, of course, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, Terry McAuliffe, the chair of the DNC, and our previous guest, Stephanie Tubbs-Jones, the congresswoman from Ohio.
I got to watch her now.
Yeah,
from
right.
Ohio, not Chicago.
Chicago, from Ohio. The theme today, Plan for America's Future. Tomorrow, Tom Daschle, Howard Dean, Theresa Hines, Kerry, Barack Obama. And the theme tomorrow is a lifetime of strength and service.
That's me. That's me. I am a lifetime of strength and service.
You know, there's a strength thing that's running all through the themes of this week.
And I imagine we'll see some of those themes here in the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound.
Absolutely.
There you go, folks. Hear your marching orders. Get your pens. One, At the convention stage, reenactment of 1968 Chicago convention riot. This time, nude. Two, go up to Boston policemen, point to your temple and say, quote, my free speech zone is in here, man. Unquote. Two, go up to, oh no, three, complain to convention organizers that there's no time allotted for tribute to Hanoi Jane. But perhaps they'll have that picture of Kerry at the Hanoi Jane thing speaking. Four, during Clinton's speech, hand out condoms. Why not help out? Five, today's phrase is drop it in the conversation, quote, this is the first time I feel like I'm being watched because I actually am being watched, unquote. Drop it in the conversation anytime. We'll see you tomorrow.
That's right. And we've got more coming up tomorrow. A full report on the first day of the Democratic Convention. Former Clinton Labor Secretary Robert Reich joins us along with writer and columnist Gail Sheehy. That's tomorrow's Morning's Edition, only here on Air America Radio. Have a good one.
Later, Riley.